want to know how I got these scars? My father was a drinker and a fiend. And one night, he goes off crazier than usual. Mommy gets the kitchen knife to defend herself. He doesn't like that. Not one bit. So, me watching, he takes the knife to her, laughing while he does it. He turns to me and he says, "Why so serious?" He comes at me with the knife. "Why so serious?" He sticks the blade in my mouth. "Let's put a smile on that face."
You either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
Because some men aren't looking for anything logical, like money. They can't be bought, bullied, reasoned, or negotiated with. Some men just want to watch the world burn. And here we go.
Jesus fucking Christ! Damn, Mason!
Welcome everybody to Throwback. Welcome
everybody once again, because we just lost every goddamn thing we did. A 50-minute show we just did. Great show too.
I know, it was gold.
It's gold. Some of the best shit ever, or whatever. It's all gone now, but that's okay because I'm one of the hosts of the phenomenal one, MovieSpoilersPodcast.com.
This is Z from the FanCritic.com.
And you're checking out Movie Spoilers, or I was going to say Movie Spoilers Throwback Tuesday, but Throwback Tuesday, episode 12. Got it right this time.
There you go.
Yeah. Very proud of myself. Yes. Thank you, whatever. Yeah, you know what? You know what? And you should give me a pat on the back for making you sure that you won all those awards.
I did. I instead of thanking God, I'm like, thank you, TPO. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. Because of me, Z has won several awards. 20 of them, actually, I believe. Because we had, like, a Rocky montage where I trained him and everything. And he was running up the hill with a jar of bacon in his hand, but...
live bacon.
Yeah, exactly. I put a picture of Mickey Mouse up at the top of the podium or whatever and said, "Now, reach that mouse, man! Come on! Get up there!"
Yeah. You did. You're like, beat that mouse!
Yeah, beat the mouse, man! If you beat the mouse, you can win anything or whatever. Unfortunately, he never did beat the fucking mouse, so I just... Well, that went nowhere, so I had to switch it up with Goofy.
He starts slow.
Yeah, I said, if you can't beat that, then goddamn it, ain't no hope for you winning at all, man.
But I beat Goofy and won Best Director at the Eye Open Pictures Awards last night.
The 79th annual Eye Open Pictures Award.
Yep.
It's been 79 years in the making.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost catching up there with the Academy Awards. You know, it's up there.
Yeah. So
Z has won Best Director and Best Female Actress.
Best Writer too.
Yeah, and Best Nude Actress.
Separate awards.
Yeah, exactly. Man, you know what? I really had an idea that first time we did it. I need to be a director up there. I'll make the biggest porn film ever.
I can see that.
It'd be called Nut Gobblers 12.
Why 12?
I don't know. It just sounds like it rings. But I don't know what happened to the first 11. But you know, I'll just use it as a tagline: is you don't want to know what happened to the first 11.
It's like saying that all the girls die.
They did. They did. Intern Lisa swallowed so much, whatever, she just passed out and bloated somewhere.
So.
The boy wonder was so young, whatever, he jerked himself off to death.
Interesting.
Z is like Michael Bay behind a tripod. He's just stroking that shit lovely or whatever when he be filming the fucking women in his movies and shit.
You're giving away too much.
Yeah, I am spoiled. Well, you know, I'm just giving a little bit about 1 through 11. I haven't told 12 yet, so.
Okay.
what happened in One Piece. You gotta get the director's cut for that.
Okay.
Which will be me drunk as fuck, just talking about, yeah, I know a lot of naked people in here, including myself. They all did it for free, too.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, exactly. See, they wanted to do this with me. That's the thing. But today, we got a very special show for you. I'm calling it Batman Day. Batman Tuesday, that's what we're going to call it.
Batman Tuesday. Why is it Batman Tuesday?
Yeah, because we got two movies we're going to do for you guys, simply because we just said, fuck it, we want to do both.
Well,
because of the polling was over 1,300, it was getting out of control, where finally we just said, well, just do both of them.
Yeah, we kind of, we're like, we can't pick one. It's just, yeah. I mean, both of them were like, what, 600?
Dark Knight was at 541, and Under the Red Hood was at 586.
Okay, so...
So, it was something where it came down to a decision of saying, that's probably the most fucking votes ever, or whatever, so obviously people are dedicated to both films, so I figured we should give both of them each one, because we have so many movies we could be picking, it'd probably be a while before we go back to saying, hey, whatever would have lost, where we'd be like, alright, let's do this one next time, whatever, it would have been too soon, you know, so
yeah.
It's like, let's just do both.
Yeah, and both of them, I just finally saw Red Hood last night, and it was good, and we're both fans of Dark Knight.
Mm-hmm.
So we were like, we have to do Dark Knight. It's, you know,
yeah.
The movie's too awesome not to do.
And Under the Red Hood is really short, so figured we could have did both films anyway, if it came down to it. So everybody wins in this.
Mm-hmm. We'll
probably fast forward to get to one review first, but I don't know.
But we're going to start off with Dark Knight.
Dark Knight, 2008 classic. It's already a classic.
I would consider it a classic.
I'm going to go ahead and say this. It is the two best Batman adaptation to screens ever, the films we're doing today.
What do you mean? Under Red Hood, did they have a theater release?
No, it didn't have a theater release.
Oh, I thought that's what you meant. My bad.
No, screen, man. It doesn't. Screen could be anything, dude. Shut the fuck up, Zeke. Jesus fucking Christ. You're supposed to win best director and writer here. You're supposed to understand this shit.
My bad.
More best porn actress ever, and you can't even get that. Come on now. Come on.
My bad. Dark Knight, like you said, came out in 2008. Directed by Christopher Nolan. Wrote by Jonathan and Christopher Nolan. Story and by David Nolan Goyer. And... Huh?
I said, and David Goyer.
Well, Goyer came up with the story. That's what it's saying.
You're the one I got to finish it or start off with that, though.
Okay. Dark Knight stars Christian Bale, Michael Caine, Heath Ledger, Gary Oldman, Aaron Eckhart, Maggie Gyllenhaal, Morgan Freeman. Budget, $185 million.
Oh, you forgot the other cast, too. Val Kilmer, George Clooney, Chris O'Donnell.
Alicia Silverstone, Drew Barrymore, Tommy Lee Jones.
Drew Barrymore,
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
All of them came back. They're Arnold Schwarzenegger. They all wanted to be back for this. I mean, they just had to be.
Yeah. Budget, $185 million. Worldwide gross, $1,458,000.
I bet most of that money went to the actors.
Nah, the whole budget.
Yeah, I bet that's where it went.
Well, Heath Ledger's not spending it now, but...
You think when he passed away, Nolan went right to his bank and was like, he's going to get half of that back right now.
I don't
know. Or you think Christian Bale, like, if had that been like a bigger actor, not to say he's not a bigger, he's a pretty big actor, but had he been a big, like Bradley Cooper, who like has like a certain limit of how much he wants to be paid, shit, had he been like that, I bet they would have been going up to Nolan and be like, hey man, sorry about Heath and all that. You think you can go pick up his check and split that between the rest of us here now?
Maybe. Because I don't know, dude. I don't know if actors get paid before or after.
It'd be funny. I imagine they get paid before or whatever. But some get paid after. But it'd be funny if, as Nolan was like, damn, Heath did such a great-ass job, man. Shit, he might even win us the first superhero Oscar award. You know what? I'm going to write him a bigger check real quick, whatever. He writes that check, goes knock on the door and shit. Police and shit are there, whatever, picking up his body and shit. Oh, shit.
And he slowly backs out and puts the money in his pocket.
He walks out slowly and shit. They caught him OD'ing and shit in the bathroom.
And he still had his costume on. But that's why he died, though, too, right? It's because he said he was having nightmares and shit of that character.
Well, I guess he locked himself in his apartment with no outside contact for 30 days, and he went crazy.
He went in an apartment with his rich ass.
He went, well, it was probably like a New York apartment, which is probably like $1 million a month.
I was about to say, that nigga was cheating on his wife. That's what that was.
Well, he was dating Michelle Williams, right?
He was dating on that bitch then, apparently. If a rich actor has an apartment that he's hiding in or whatever, he's cheating on your ass, honey.
Well, we've seen what he can do. He pretty much wanted to live the character. He's pretty much what Daniel Day-Lewis does. Daniel Day-Lewis goes psychotic before any role, and he lives that life.
Daniel Day-Lewis can go eat a dick. Fuck him. I'd be happy to tell that to him his face. Yeah, you can go eat a dick, you fucking craven. That's what a bitch. he ain't no Heath Ledger. He ain't no Joker, okay? God damn it. He ain't nothing like that. Daniel Day-Lewis just fucking puts on makeup and goes, walks his little tall, lanky ass out there and just read lines, whatever. What Heath Ledger did as a Joker, that was acting. He transformed himself.
And it killed him.
Yeah, but...
Johnny Depp, take notes.
Why you gotta bring up the negative, man? Come on now.
He won an Oscar. The only superhero Oscar that's probably ever gonna happen.
I can see him now putting that Oscar up. He's like, now my life is complete, and he just passes out.
Well, he died before the movie was completed, didn't he?
Yeah.
Before, well, the acting scene were done, I think, before it was released.
Yeah, it was, because he didn't die after the movie was released. I think he died after production was done.
I think it's probably just the editing and stuff like that, but...
Yeah, exactly. So, I honestly, I don't think he would have gotten that Oscar if he wouldn't have died.
I think I asked the Sock and Husky that, too, and they probably said the same thing.
You know, the Academy Awards, they're full of shit or whatever. They won't give any other sci-fi film, superhero film, it won't get any kind of acknowledge or whatever as no fucking Academy Award. Had that man not died and been, like, in some of his movies being nominated before that or whatever it's being, that he would never got fucking nominated.
Mm-hmm.
That's like saying, is Chris Evans going to get nominated, or like Henry Cavill is going to get nominated for fucking Superman or whatever if he was to die today or tomorrow? Hell no.
No, but I think just Heath, well, actually his performance in Dark Knight was the movie. He took over the movie.
I never reviewed the movie, so I never said it before, but actually Aaron Eckhart was my favorite in the movie.
Husky said the same thing, and I'm like, wait, as Two-Face or... As
I like
Dent.
Because in the Nolan movies, we never see the transformation of the villain or whatever, and that was the first one we saw, and I really enjoyed seeing that transformation, how he became Two-Face.
Mm-hmm.
Just seeing this normal guy who wants to bring justice to the city or whatever, he's all straight-laced and forward and everything like that. I never would have expected him to turn to Two-Face at the end of the film. The way he was acting, I was like, Jesus fucking Christ. So I like the transformation of it.
You're a comic book guru when it comes to Batman. Exactly, because we've seen different stories from Batman Forever with how Dent turned to Two-Face, and then this, and then how Two-Face turned to this one. Which one is accurate?
From this compared to, what was that, Batman Forever?
Yeah, how did Two-Face become?
It definitely wasn't in this one. It wasn't accurate, no.
Okay.
Bruce and Harvey, they were already friends before that. So, like, they already knew each other, had a relationship together. I don't think really Bruce really... Actually, because Harvey didn't like Bruce in this film. Let's go ahead and say that.
He was jealous of him.
Yeah, he pretty much thought he was a dick. He was dating Rachel at the time, too, whatever. And he was like, oh, you don't want to marry me because of Bruce, isn't because of that, or whatever, shit like that. So, and Harvey actually respected Batman more. It was kind of the opposite of that in the books.
Yeah. Okay, I was kind of curious, because in Batman Forever... Harvey Dent was in the courtroom, and Batman jumped out in his suit, which he was just... Was he just sitting there in the crowd with his bat suit?
Damn, I don't even remember that. I haven't seen Batman Forever in so long.
It was my favorite one of the original four.
Ooh, Two-Face or...
Batman Forever?
Batman Forever is shit. What are you talking about?
Batman Returns is shit.
What?
Batman Returns is shit.
They're all shit.
I like the first one, too.
The The first one with Jack Nicholson and Joker, it's whatever. But to me, they all shit. Like, I always love how people keep saying, oh, look at Nolan, he changed Batman up, whatever. To me, he never did change Batman up, because as we prove with Under the Red Hood, whatever, which we will be reviewing later, whatever, those books were out for a long time, whatever. So Batman was always this dark and gritty character, whatever. And like, the earlier books, of course, he was campy and shit, but I always hated that campy shit of Batman. Then when we got to the darker book side or whatever, I was like, this is my Batman, this is what I want to see. And that's when Batman Forever came out, and I was like, this looks like something a B-list of Daft Punk would put together. This fucking city, first of all, whatever. I mean, Jesus fucking Christ. This looks like the backdrops of Tron Legacy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, exactly. This looks like Tron Legacy's baby brother if it was retarded.
Well, Christopher Nolan made, he made Batman more realistic. That's why he went with the villains that were... Huh?
As realistic as it can be, because in Dark Knight Rises, he sure did, lose all that realisticness.
Oh, yeah. Like how Bruce Wayne gets into the city.
It's not realistic. I'm talking about pain punching fucking giant pillars and shit like that.
I can do that.
Well, no, the fuck you can't. You can't run up some stairs. Come on.
Fuck you. But if you think about it, all the villains, you had Scarecrow, Ra's al Ghul, Joker, Two-Face, Bane, Talia al Ghul. They were all realistic. I mean, you couldn't do a Mr. Freeze or Poison Ivy like this.
None of them is, even from the books, all those characters you just named off are, like, over the top, except for Bane and Scarecrow. Scarecrow, which is probably the easiest of doing to be human realistic, is the fear gas, obviously. That one is a known element of the fucking comics and animated shows and all that stuff, whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's not like you really have to make him a scarecrow. Make him more of a symbol, if anything.
Yeah.
And Bane, I think that one would have been the hardest one to do.
And he did a good job.
Yeah, for the most part.
For he changed it. I mean, it's a lot better than Batman and Robin, but...
Hey, man, that was a classic, dude. Come on now.
A classic shitter.
Have you seen that photo of Joel Schumacher and Bane standing next to each other? Come on now. That was a classic photo. I got that photo hanging on my wall, actually.
Dark Knight was a sequel to Batman Begins, the second Christopher Nolan Batman movie, which was...
Funny thing is, I was never going to see Batman Begins because Forever and Batman and Robin were so fucking bad. I was like, you know what, I'm done with Batman.
Well, when did Batman and Robin come out? 96, 7? Maybe even 8?
I wouldn't say. I thought it was 99. It might be 97, though. I don't know.
Batman Begins came out in 2005.
Yeah.
So you had about 8 years. And that's where this is where people got pissed off. They're like, oh, they're redoing Batman. They just did that. Kind of like how they did a Spider-Man right now. Mm-hmm. Which I wonder if...
Batman came out in 97, so yeah.
I wonder if they had that whole tie-in with the contract, like with Sony and Spider-Man. They had to make a Batman movie and they lose the rights.
No, they didn't have that with Batman.
Okay.
The only thing they had to do was they had to make it different from the previous films if it was under a different director. So had to make like costume designs and all that shit differently.
Okay, I didn't know that. That's very, very interesting.
Yeah, we actually where I'm at, or whatever, we actually had that conversation before, like years ago, honestly.
Okay.
Making the difference between Batman and Spider-Man and shit. So.
But a lot of changes. Rachel Dawes is not Katie Holmes anymore. It's Maggie Gyllenhaal, who's a better actress. Huh?
A better actress, but an uglier one.
I would say they're both ugly.
Katie Holmes looks much better, though.
Katie Holmes from Toledo.
Oh, my God.
My city.
Hey, ain't nothing wrong with Katie Holmes, whatever.
I don't like her.
Now that she dumped Tom Cruise, whatever.
But she turned down I swear to God, I'm looking at it right now. She turned down Dark Knight to do Mad Money with Diane Keaton and Queen Latifah.
She didn't turn it down. Tom Cruise made her turn it down.
That's also a rumor, too.
That ain't no rumor. That's true.
But do you know who was up for Harvey Dent?
I can't remember. I remember there was a lot of names going in there. Fuck. It's going to eat me up later. Oh, you probably know.
Liev Schreiber.
Yeah.
Josh Lucas, Ryan Phillippe, Mark Ruffalo, and Hugh Jackman was considered.
I think they're just fine with what they got now.
But when Joker's name came to villain, you know, everyone wanted to do Steve Carell, Robin Williams, Adrian Brody, Paul Bettany. They all threw their name in the hat, but...
Those are some of the worst fucking names ever.
Well, I see Robin Williams more as a Riddler than a Joker.
I don't see him in this movie at nowhere at all, so how about that? Yeah.
Well, Paul Bettany's already been in Iron Man, so
he's the voice. A fucking background effect. How about that, Robin Williams? You can do that. How about that?
But Adrian Brody's, like, I think after Predators, he can be like, I can be the badass in every movie now. Fuck you, asshole.
I don't think so anymore after Inappropriate Comedy. You're right where you're at as well, so no. That's enough for you too, whatever.
Okay, well, Christian Bale's coming back, Gary Oldman.
Love Gary Oldman. Gary, you know what? People always say, I don't want to see another Batman film because I don't want to see Christian Bale replaced. I don't want to see Gary Oldman replaced. He is Commissioner Gordon.
I really started liking with him in Harry Potter. I really like Oldman as an actor. I even went back to The Professional, Leon, and watched him, and he was great in that, too.
Yeah.
He's such an awesome actor. Michael Caine's got a huge part in this. Morgan Freeman's got a bigger part.
Gary Oldman can do no wrong to me. Any film he does, even if it's shit, he still is the best part of that film.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't see him doing much shit, though. Not him.
He's done Red Riding Hood. That was a piece of shit. But he was pretty funny in it, I gotta say.
Okay. Oh, I never seen Red Riding Hood, so I don't know.
I mean, Gary Oldman's done a lot of shit this time, actually.
I'm actually gonna look it up now.
He's done a lot of movies, whatever. I mean, he has a movie out almost every year now.
He does, and it's awesome because he changes his look. He doesn't. Yeah, he looks old in the Batmans.
Yeah.
He
was also in Lawless last year as well.
Yeah, he's in Paranorma. Is that how you pronounce it? Paranoia. Paranoia. That comes out next week. RoboCop next year. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Deathly Hallows. Book of Eli. So he's pretty much. You're right. He does have like a movie every year. So
I don't see why this guy isn't known as one of the highest paid actors or anything, whatever. Because he's always in something that's pretty big too.
But I think the highest paid actor goes to like the Brad Pitt or the.
It's Robert Downey Jr. actually, but.
Or him, yeah, but it's the.
Well, I'm being serious. Robert Downey Jr. is the highest paid actor right now.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, I'm not joking. I'm being serious. He's the highest paid actor right now in Hollywood. Brad Pitt is in that top five with him.
So is The Rock.
Rock's nowhere near those.
I thought he was top five.
Hell no.
I thought he was. I thought, because he made four huge movies this year.
Four movies. Wow. All right. And none of them grossed anywhere, nowhere near to a billion.
Fast and Furious. Fast 6, I mean.
Didn't get to a billion.
Oh, really? Okay. I thought it did.
For the past 2 years, both made over a billion.
Okay. But let's talk about this, because we still got to talk about...
Dude, really? Did you get that off an MTV award or something like that? Jesus
No, Yahoo.
Ah, even worse.
But Batman is pretty much living his house burned down from the first one. There's a new, quote-unquote, hero of Gotham, which is Harvey Dent, the new district attorney.
The White Knight.
That's what they call him, the White Knight. And he's dating Rachel Dawes.
At least it seems like they're dating. I mean, they don't really have any kind of like romantic scenes together where they're doing anything together. They're always talking as if they're dating, but you never really see anything as far as on the chemistry level that Bruce and Rachel.
Well, he's the PA, he's the DA, she's the assistant DA.
I don't think she's an assistant. She's also a DA too, but. I think Harvey is bigger than her because he came from another city as well. But once again, whatever, it never really felt like they were dating because it just felt like they were working together.
Okay. They were partners in the courtroom.
Yeah, every time they were in the scene together talking, Rachel was always talking about work.
She was, yeah.
And Harvey was the one always like making the passes at her. And I was like, so are they dating or what?
Mm-hmm. And we find out the new villain in Gotham
is... a whore.
Dawes?
Yeah, she's a whore.
Okay.
She's like, I'll string you along here, Harvey, but in the back of my mind, I'm thinking of Bruce.
Yeah, I did not like that Bruce would have gave up Batman to be with her. I'm like, really?
That's what I'm saying, though. Her?
I'm like, come on, Bale.
Come
now,
on.
Like in Batman, like in The Rises now, I understand that. That's fucking Anne Hathaway. She is much hotter than fucking Maggie Gyllenhaal, and so, you know, I can understand that, but for her, I was like, what are you doing? Come on, Bill. Come on, Batman. Come on, Bruce. You can do better than that.
Even his role, Russian dancer, the ballet dancer, was hotter.
Yeah, and she even had a brain on her, because at the table she was talking politics. So I was like, well, she's not just hot and dumb either. So I was like, yeah.
Hey, if she can make a freaking, if she can make a sandwich, she's a winner.
Yeah, Maggie Gyllenhaal looked old in this movie.
She did.
Yeah. that was one of my disappointments of switching her with Katie Holmes. I was like, well, yeah. I was like, Jesus.
But the new villain is Joker, who pretty much, he rounds up all the mob bosses, Sal Moroni.
He's even new, too, because I remember, when they first meet him again, when he robs the bank, Gary Oldman's character, he's like, it was this guy again, or whatever, and it was like, the Joker card again. So I was like, in the time that between Batman Begins and Dark Knight, I wonder how long Joker's been running around.
Yeah, well, they said at the end of Batman Begins, who gave Batman the Joker card?
It was Gary Oldman.
Was it Oldman? I haven't seen Batman Begins in forever. So we do learn that Batman was, but they never say a really time frame from this one to the second one, or the first one to the second
one. Exactly. And, in that scene where I just brought up, Batman's still like, he's like, you want to go after this one man or the whole entire mob, and I'm just like, maybe Joker wasn't as threatening as he was in the time between these two, whatever. Maybe he was developing this plan he had all along.
So we like you said, the bank. Oh, that bank scene is fucking awesome. Where he
opens up with that scene.
It opens up, and that was a freaking awesome scene because he takes out his own guys. They all kill each other to promise more money.
Yeah, and you don't even know it's him because he's wearing a mask as well.
Yeah, and that's kind of like he's on the side of the street, you know, waiting to be picked up. He's holding the mask down. That was Joker because he had the same hair. Was he just normal, no face paint or nothing?
He was wearing the mask, I would assume, because he had to be in or whatever. Because broad fucking daylight, he was just standing there. Like, I know Batman doesn't come out at night, but goddamn, this dude is just standing on a fucking corner on a busy day street or whatever. And you could tell because there was traffic when they came out of that bank or whatever. Just on a busy street, just standing there like, huh. And people just probably passed by and be like, look, a clown mask. Oh, wow, it's nice. It must be entertaining for Bruce's party this weekend.
And then they rob the bank and they steal from the mob bosses. That's all Joker's been doing is stealing money from all these mob bosses.
And he's a dick about it, too, because when he meets the mobs or whatever, he's like, he comes in here with a cheap suit, and he's like, you ought to know, because this suit wasn't cheap, because you paid for it, and he's like, son of a bitch.
And that's where we learn how to do a magic trick, which is a cool scene.
I gotta say, right now, all that money he stole, he found that cheap-ass purple suit.
Well, that's all Joker wore, is a purple suit, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's funny, but that suit looked dirty as shit, though. Because he says in that scene that the mob paid for that with the money that he stole, I'm just like, and that's literally, that was the best you could find, dude. That's like, that cheap-ass dirty fucking suit.
Yeah.
I was expecting that bitch to be fucking gleamed out and everything, whatever. He's like, you stole over $5 million? That's the best you could get. Where'd you get that shit from? The Big and Tall store?
But Joker pretty much plans to kill a Batman for half of the mob's money, but they refuse him.
It's funny because he gives that speech. He's like, if they're like, why have you ever done anything? He's like, never do anything for free or whatever. And it's like, you couldn't kill Batman even if you fucking tried, Joker. Come on now, let's be serious about this.
No, but I'm trying to think between the
three. Down between a hand-to-hand combat, whatever. Come on, Batman beat the shit out of Joker.
Yeah.
In this film alone. I'm not talking about, like, in the continuity of Batman and Joker or whatever. I'm saying in this film, after the shit we saw in the first film of what this Bruce Wayne did and how he trained and shit like that, compared to this normal-ass dude who just carries a little small-ass knife that can't even go through Batman's suit.
Yeah,
Batman beat the living shit out of this dude.
But that's why I like Joker so much, is because he was so unpredictable. He burned half of the money. He fed the one mob boss, was it Cha-Ching?
I'm not forgetting either. That Asian dude, Lau, was sitting on top of the money, too.
Yeah.
If you look in your right-hand corner, you can see the chair that he's sitting on. His ass is setting on fire. I was like, Jesus Christ.
That's why I like Joker, because he was so unpredictable. He set half the money. He fed one of the mob bosses to his own dogs.
I don't think he fed them to the dogs.
I thought that was the thing. He pretended to be dead to kill Gamble, the black mob boss, and have... And he goes, we're going to have tryouts.
That's what I did when I was doing Boogie Sports all over again. I threw a stick down and said, all right, get to it.
We're having tryouts. But that's why, I mean, from what I watched from the Under the Red Hood, that's why I asked you when that came out, because the two Jokers were very similar. And that's why I like...
I understood why they couldn't get these fucking characters right. The books are right there. They tell you. They show you. They give you pictures, descriptions, and everything, whatever. I was just like, Jesus Christ, they can't never get... That's why I never liked any of the other Batman films besides the Nolan trio or whatever, because I was just looking at it like, have they read these books or not or whatever? And then when the animated films started coming, I was like, they understand it. They fucking understand it or whatever. I mean, we ain't seen, I forgot how many animated films, but they had the Joker in it. That's got it right. It's got all these characters right. And then when you see the movies come out, you'd be like, fuck.
Yeah.
So I'm glad when Nolan came out, he made it more toned down. Like, I don't know what the fuck they were going in Forever and Batman and Robin. That shit was over the top and campy shit. Like, they were marketing their children or whatever. And I was like, that's nothing of these characters and how those books are portrayed. This character is fucking, he's kind of a bastard, to be honest. Like, he has a lot of emotional problems and shit. I mean, there's an animated film where it almost feels like Batman himself, after he quits, he can't give up being Batman because he has some kind of superpowered bat telling him in his head, that's telling him, I'm not done with you yet, man. Batman's not over yet, whatever. So I'm like, I don't get why they couldn't get this right.
Well, I like this Joker better than Jack Nicholson's Joker, because Nicholson's Joker was very animated.
Yeah.
And this one's very dark.
Yeah,
and it felt real.
I can forgive the Nicholson one because of the time that it came out. I mean, I understand the Batman and what it was. So, I mean, I don't really have much problem with it. After Returns and all the rest of them, they can go fuck themselves.
But I do like Heath Ledger's Joker a lot. He was probably the best movie Batman villain. He's unpredictable. He was funny. I love the times he said, you know, I know how I got these scars.
That motherfucker just had a story for each time he said that.
I know, that was great. He always licked his lips, or he like did like a, kind of like a frog, or...
I'm telling you this right now, Nolan told him, he's like, Heath Ledger said, I don't know how to play this character, and Nolan looked at him and said, act as if you were a crackhead.
Is that what you're really saying? He was kind of like a crackhead?
He's always twitching and shit, licking his lips. Act as if you're a sadistic crackhead. Yeah, there you go.
Well, I liked it when he was the nurse, when he was walking out, and this was an improv scene. He was only supposed to hit the thing once, and it was supposed to blow up, but he just kept doing it and kind of like going, like throwing his arms up in the air. So, I mean, that was cool. He really lived the character. That's what made him crazy.
He took his mask off. Hi.
Yeah, and then I love the jailbreak scene.
This is where, in this scene, where I felt Harvey took over now for the film.
Oh, after Rachel dies, which was how smart. I mean, if you ever seen the YouTube video, like what's wrong with Dark Knight, in, like 8 minutes or whatever. Mm-hmm. They're like, how would the whole jailbreak scene, which the interrogation scene was amazing. How would Joker know that the guy was going to get picked up, that is going to get arrested, and his chest was going to explode at the exact same time? How did he know Batman? Well, Batman went to the wrong place, right? He was originally going to see Rachel, right?
Well, that's funny that that happens, whatever, because Batman, I remember reading these in the books as well. Batman seems to always go for the loved one, but yet he goes for the one that's actually more right for the city, I would assume.
Well, this is what I think. Because he did say it, and Batman says he's going to Rachel, but he shows them she's Dent. I think he just, Joker got the addresses mixed up, or maybe he did it on purpose.
No, I don't think so. Batman knew who he's going for. Who's better to be saved for the city? Harvey Dent, of course.
Well, maybe he thought, well, I don't know, but maybe Rachel's... Well, Rachel knew Batman saved Harvey. You saw it in her face. You saw that in her face.
I know what's going on here, whatever. Batman knows who he has to save, whatever. What's better for the city of Gotham, or whatever. It's Harvey. It has to be Harvey. He wouldn't do something selfish like that as far as saving someone for his own personal need.
Yeah.
He's done that before in the past, and all the fucking books, actually, whatever. I mean, he wouldn't satisfy his... I think that's what makes him as better as a character compared to most superheroes, whatever, because they would have that conflict with them. Granted, he did have that conflict with them once it was over and done with, but at the same time, he knows what's better for the greater cause, if anything.
Yeah, and this is, like you said, this is where pretty much Harvey Dent took over due to the fact that he was already two-faced. His one side of his face was in the battery acid. Would he survive that? Realistically, would you survive that?
I don't think so. Judging from how his facial structure was, I don't believe it. I don't think you could survive that, honestly. There's a couple of things in here I didn't believe someone could survive. Like when Joker had that thing over Batman's fucking throat or whatever, and then Batman shot them bat spikes at him or whatever. I was like, he would have died from that. I mean, there is no way in hell he could have just clipped him off like that or whatever. Because we saw it when he first shot it at the beginning of the film. He shot it and it went through a fucking wall.
Mm-hmm.
And that wall wasn't just wood. That was a metal wall.
Yeah, you're totally right. I mean, that's why I just don't think realistically, but they had to do something. I mean, you have the character Harvey Dent. You have to have Two-Face.
Oh, yeah, exactly. There's something you got to do. And it's not realistic, but it's better than him falling into some fucking chemical plant or whatever, some shit like that.
Like Batman.
Yeah, like in Batman Forever. or whatever.
The first Batman.
The real Two-Face is an origin story where we just...
Which... You're going to hate me for this. You're going to hate me. In this one, I don't consider Two-Face a villain to Batman. Due to the fact that he just goes against the dirty cops that were working with Joker. And that he only went for Gordon's son. What's wrong with that?
What's wrong with that?
Nothing's wrong with that. I don't consider him a villain to Batman.
He never had any screen time with Batman.
Just at the end.
Yeah, just at the end. I'm sure if he would have met Batman, because like you said, Batman, hey, you let Rachel die too, whatever. All of you must die. Even, you know, he almost shot himself too, whatever.
Yeah, that's where the flip of the coin, because that's the whole time we learn that he does the chance, where the flip of the coin type thing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's not so much of Two-Face being a villain towards this certain, like Batman isn't his main option of going after or whatever, unlike Joker or whatever, where it's just he wants to drive Batman to this length or whatever. But Joker's whole MO in the beginning of the film is not so... It was first wanted to kill Batman, but then it moved on to saying, Harvey Dent is my key to making everything work and everything. So once he does that, it Joker takes a step back and let Harvey does all the corruption and shit, whatever.
Pretty much he manipulates Harvey.
Yeah, because it's all part of the plan.
And what was his own... He didn't have a plan. It was just chaos. Joker's plan was just a boat at the end. It was a boat full of cons and the normal people, and just to blow one of them up. He wanted anarchy. That's all he wanted.
I mean, he can't sit up here and tell me none of that shit was planned. to go to this level of destruction in the city, just being either he's got to be some of the worst cops ever, and Batman has to be the worst detective ever in this film, or Joker had it planned out. I mean, come on now.
Well, Joker did it smart. Remember when they say, "Oh, they're hostages," because he kidnaps pretty much a whole school bus of people.
Yeah, you remember before that they shot that boat scene though. They were like, "Oh, if you try to leave, the bridges are rigged with explosives and stuff like that." How the fuck did he set up them explosives shit? Not one single person saw that shit.
Uh-huh.
You can't tell me he didn't have that shit planned. Now it's like,
okay, well look at Bane in Dark Knight Rises.
It was on a bigger scale though. Whatever. Joker, at least, but Bane didn't go around saying, "Oh, I never had any of this planned and shit." Whatever. Joker's talking around like, "I just go along with it, whatever." It's like, no, you're full of shit, dude. You had this shit planned out. Come on now.
Well, the smart thing is when he has hostages, he has the hostages are holding the guns dressed up like clowns, and yeah. Joker's men are dressed up like doctors, like they were the hostages. That was smart. That was really cool.
Yeah, that was really smart. He had a lot of time to do shit, too, by the way.
He did. Well,
you know what? These cops are horrible. I just come to the conclusion. These gotta be some of the worst fucking cops ever.
Well, the only time... Well, because he kind of sets him off on the goose chase, because he says that... who was the business partner about talking about R&D with Fox? Coleman?
Yeah, I forgot. I think his last name was Coleman. I don't remember his first name.
Coleman Reese. Yeah. That, Joker kind of puts, like, a bounty on him.
Yeah, but that was at the hospital scene. That wasn't before the boat scene. It was still morning and shit, too, though.
Yeah, it was before the boat scene, because...
Yeah, it was way before the boat scene, too, because after that scene was over or whatever, that's when the bombs and shit was just started or whatever, and you know, so the Coleman thing was just, like, about 5 minutes, whatever, in the middle.
Yeah, because...
He had time to set up bombs on bridges and shit like that. I'm like, goddamn, dude.
Yeah, because he pretty much threatens... that if Reese ain't killed, he's gonna blow up a hospital. And then there's like 600 hospitals in Gotham, which, what the fuck, it's Gotham.
Yeah, Joker doesn't want to kill nobody. He wants people to kill themselves. He's like, I don't want to get my hands dirty. Come on,
yeah, the man. Only time he kills was that fake Batman.
That was a fake Batman? I thought it was real.
The one that was hanging off the thing?
How did he hang this dude and nobody saw
it? It was a fat guy, too.
That shit had me laughing, dude, when the mayor was... I'm sorry, but the mayor was like... He's like, they're gonna come after you, Dent. One way... Oh, shit! Like, this body just comes... It's like somebody just threw this body right off the roof and shit.
Yeah, but I'm not gonna lie, when the mayor...
Yeah.
No, not the mayor. The judge...
Oh, yeah.
The police chief... When they die, that's really cool.
Yeah. Back on that body part, though, that hung off the roof... This brother went to the top of the mayor's rooftop and hung this motherfucker on top.
Yeah. You
know, the security in Gotham was horrible, okay? They do need Batman.
And this, I'm not going to lie, this is the only well, since I haven't seen Batman Begins in forever, I don't know. But out of the three Nolan movies, I think this is the one where Batman actually does detective work.
You said you haven't seen
haven't seen Batman Begins in forever.
You've never seen Forever?
No, I've seen them all. I just haven't seen Batman Begins in a while. How about that?
Oh, okay. I'm about to say, yeah.
But this is the only time he actually does work. Detective work. Mm-hmm. And that's...
I would agree with that.
And this...
Batman Begins is more of an origin film, so there's no need for him to do detective work. Dark Knight Rises, he pretty much ends up on his back all day, so he didn't have to... only time he did detective work in here, I remember, is when Selena Kyle was first introduced.
Yeah, because he compares the bullet holes to get a fingerprint.
Yeah.
When he goes to China to kidnap Lao, that scene. I'm like, is it needed? No.
There's a lot of scenes in here that like start off something that's cool and then just ends and you never really care. But they weren't like bad scenes, though. They were really good scenes. Like that scene with Lao flying in, and then after that, it's like, oh, okay, all right. Well, that's over, done and over with. You know what, back to the detective work, there's one detective work when I rewatched this go over, it kind of pissed me off a little bit, I'm not going to lie. It was the one where Batman sets up the computer to be like a camera, a city-wide camera tracking device. And
yeah.
And I'm like, I can't do that. I'm like, why the fuck not, huh?
Oh, Fox?
Yeah, it's like, why you can't do it, huh?
He said, I think because it was immoral.
Yeah, fuck your morals.
Because...
He's like, you want me to spy on these many people? He's like, no, I don't want you to spy. I just need to track this guy down. He's like, well, I can't do that for you, Bruce, but if I'm going to tell you this right now, I'm like, oh, what a dick, dude.
But
wouldn't you be pissed off a little bit if you were Batman?
I would, and Fox said he will resign, which obviously he didn't. But
that's what I was going to bring up, too. I was like, I thought he said he resigned because in Rises, he was running the fucking company still.
Mm-hmm. And this is like a new Batman. This Batman's more arrogant. Well, Bruce Wayne's more arrogant. He's, you know, having these parties, you know. He's kind of a dick, because remember he goes in the safe room because when Joker's mad at his party?
Well, he has those parties in any Batman, though, so what are you talking
about? Okay, well, he has that party, and Joker's mad, and he goes, like, to a safe room or whatever, and those people are fucking on his bed. And he goes, yeah. Bruce, you got a safe room, and he just looks at him and just goes in there. You're a dick, you know?
Oh, What was he supposed to do? Bring him in there with the bat suit and all that? Come on now. The fuck?
Maybe have a go with the girl?
No, fuck that. Leave their ass there the fuck or whatever. They'll be safe in there. Shit. Joker ain't coming out there or whatever. So they're fine. Shit. You're gonna go, yeah, follow me. Where my outfit is, all that, whatever, so you can find out who I really am. No. Mm-hmm. Batman's still a dick, though. I give you that.
But,
Let's see what Morgan Freeman pissed me off at the end a little bit. I was just looking at him like, the fuck you mean you can't do it? We got this dude that's willing to blow up two boats full of the whole, literally, I think it was the whole city. If not, almost damn near the close of the whole city, whatever. And you mean tell me you can't fucking track this dude down for me the only way we can find him? And you don't, in your moral code of spying on people? What do you mean spying on people? They're all on the boat, aren't they? So fuck it. Just do it.
Well, that was like the moral question of the movie. If you were in that situation, would you blow up a boat full of cons? Or with the cons, you know, who are already pretty much dead? I don't think that was the worst cons, because...
Oh, well, I'm not talking about just blowing up the boats. I'm talking about Morgan Freeman's.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
Not talking about, hey, fuck them boats. Yeah, I'd have blew it up, too. I wouldn't give a shit, honestly.
Hey, Debo was on that boat.
Yeah, fuck them cons. I'd have blew that boat up in a heartbeat, whatever. That dude would have handed me that remote. I'd have been like, anybody got any word?
No. And the funny thing is, they took time to do write-in votes and count them.
Yeah, exactly. I don't have time for that shit. Just give me the goddamn detonator. We all know what we want to do here. We'll just blow it up, but... I'm talking about Morgan Freeman's ass, whatever. That shit irritated the fuck out of me. I was just like, we have a dude here that's threatening to destroy our city, whatever. And you mean to tell me you don't want to spy on... You make it seem like you're going to fucking tell their business after whatever, or like, oh, Margaret, you know what I found out today that Sherman and Luis are doing over there? But Joey, I wish Batman would have looked at him and be like, if you don't sit at that fucking computer desk and tell me where the fuck he is, I'll bash your fucking brains in, man.
Yeah. And I did love... when after he meet, we see Scarecrow for like his 2-minute scene. That he tells Fox he wants a better suit, and he goes for dogs. He goes, well, it's Fox's little line. Well, they work on cats. I'm like, nice little implying of Catwoman.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I didn't think about that when I saw it, but yeah, I hear people that say they thought. I was like, okay, come on now.
What'd you think of Gordon faking his own death?
I want to know when that got planned out. I mean, I thought it was really cool. I thought it was fucked up how, like, they involved the family and shit like that. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and when, you're right. When did they plan that out? And was Harvey Dent part of the plan?
That was a huge plan, dude. I mean, that took up, like, at least a good 25 minutes of the movie, right?
Well, that chase scene at the freeway chase scene was a good 10 minutes, that was.
Yeah, so I mean, and when that happened, when did Batman, Dent, and all of them, like, had a meeting about this shit? Because, you know, Dent was locked up, first of all. Batman, God knows what the fuck he does. I don't know when he meets up with these two or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know when they planned it. I mean, it was a good plan, don't get me wrong, but as far as, like, how I got set up or anything, I was like, yeah, it's kind of a dick to tell your family that, Gordon. I mean, maybe you could have just left them out of this, but, you know.
Yeah. The weird thing is that at the chase scene when Joker had the gun, he was standing by him, you know, standing on the freeway.
Yeah, I love that chase scene.
Yeah, and then Batman's coming at him. I shit you not, I had a reminiscence of the first Batman when Joker had that long pistol. You know what I'm talking about? He had that long pistol and he shot down the Batwing.
Yeah.
I'm like, no.
Batman should have hit his ass.
Well, Batman has that moral code. He won't kill anybody.
Yeah, but like they did in that animated video of how it should have ended, did kill him. And Joker's sitting up in a body cast and shit like that.
Yeah.
There's a video thing called How It Should Have Ended. Check it out, people. They did on How the Dark Knight Should Have Ended. And he's like, Superman's like, whoa, did you hit him? He's like, yep, I sure did hit him. He's like, what happened to your moral code, though, of not killing anyone? And Batman takes a sip of his coffee and looks at Superman and goes, I didn't kill him. And he's sitting up in a hospital. He's like, oh.
Yeah, that's a funny video.
I was like, yeah, I don't think that little bike he had would have killed him. I mean, he could have hit him.
No, but I think that was like the whole part of Batman's or Joker's plan was the whole thing. Because, like I said, the interrogation scene is literally iconic.
You know what? For that plan to have worked, though, he'd have really had to known Batman then for one, him not getting hit, for two, for Gordon being alive, and for three, the fact that it would get to the scene to where it is, to where he get caught or whatever. I mean, I don't.
I don't know where all the planning went into this or whatever for that. That's kind of a little...
Oh, when Joker needed to know their plan, too. Well, he had people under his payroll.
Yeah, exactly. I would assume that since... If they tell the family, oh, Gordon died, I'm assuming that this was a private mission because none of the cops knew that fucking was alive as well.
No.
Except for Harvey, of course. Well, I'm assuming Harvey. I don't know who was involved in the plan, to be honest, so I would know.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's a fuck that was weird. That's why I was like, when did they come up with this plan? That was Dent involved? Was this just Dent and Gordon? You know, you don't know whose plan it was. Cause
in order for Joker's plan to work, Batman and Gordon's plan would have to work. So, I mean,
I think we're just thinking too much into it.
No, because that is part of the plot right there. I mean, it's a big scene in the film, too, whatever. I mean,
it's true, yeah.
You're thinking into it, but you know, at the same time, it's like, you know, I wish I could, like, because we see that in a lot of movies these days where the villain is getting caught by the good guys or whatever because they want to get caught.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like they have this plan of when they get caught, like everything is just there and it's perfectly going to go out. But, you know, shit doesn't come out perfectly like that sometimes.
The only thing I can think of now that I think about it is that Joker's plan about getting arrested and all that stuff was still probably going to happen because they knew that he didn't kill any cops. You know, so
he was going to kill Batman. Oh, he did kill that one cop, remember? The one when he first got in the truck?
Oh, yeah.
He shot that dude in the face. Was I the only one that laughed? This movie should have been rated R.
What was it rated?
I think it was PG-13, dude. That shit was funny as hell, because the dude's like, hey, you need to move your... Oh, shit. Pow!
Yeah. So, how would you rank Joker as a villain in the Nolan universe of Batman?
Oh man, see, I always hate doing that, because I like all the villains in the universe. Like, when Rises came out, I went back and watched Begins, and I really like Begins a lot for the simple fact that I love his origin story in that movie, and I love Liam Neeson being Ra's al Ghul, and how they switched the story to Liam Neeson being the one that trained him and all that, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The training montages are, like, fucking phenomenal in it.
Yeah.
But as far as being, like, a villain or whatever, I like Bane for the simple fact that he's not like this dim-witted dumbass that we saw in fucking Batman. I mean, I like him because he's threatening physically and mentally.
Yeah.
That was one reason.
I think he was the smartest. Well, would you who would be smarter, Crane or Bane?
He was more of a letdown for me for the simple fact that there wasn't too many. Because what I wanted, my disappointment with Joker was, is, but we can't see Batman really fight him, really. I mean, that's really what I want to see. So I was like, because we all know if it came down to a fucking fifth, Batman beat the living shit.
At the end, Joker had it. Joker had him.
Had him in what?
He had him in the fight. Remember, he had him pinned down.
Oh, yeah, man. Them dogs attacked him. Remember, he had like four fucking dogs attacked him.
But he's still winning. Until
he had four dogs attack him, and then he had a net drop on him or whatever, and then he just drop kicked him pretty much to the ground or whatever, and had this fucking thing. I was like, that ain't a fight. That was like a gang rape. I'm talking about a straight up fist fight or whatever between the two villains, the villain and the hero or whatever. That wasn't no fight at the end. Come on.
Okay,
now.
Okay. But
that was like a goddamn. That was a trap. That was if you start your fight off with three dogs attacking you, come on now.
But to
and
get
plus
to,
the suit is lighter now too. Whatever.
Yeah. But to get to the end of the movie, Batman wins and. The SWAT team takes Joker into custody, and that's the last we ever hear of him in the Batman universe for this. Dent is pretty much holding his family, Gordon's family, hostage.
I like the scene a lot.
And it's a strong scene. This is where Eckhart, like, stood out.
Yeah, it's because, like, the facial movements he has and the dialogue he has, whatever.
He was pure really creepy. Deep. He was creepy.
Yeah, it was getting deep and most more creepy at the same time, whatever. And I was like, I love this transformation. And I was like, this guy at the beginning of the film was just a normal, regular dude, and now he kind of lost his shit now.
Well, what would you expect if your half your face is gone?
And apparently the woman he loved died.
Who did that? She only liked to talk business to him.
Man, Rachel must have been, either he saw her naked before, or she has some good-ass pussy or something, because he lost his shit after
that. That's actually quite a good question.
Either he had in his mind, one of these days, I'm going to fuck you. Oh, you know what? And you know what? Before she died, she did say, I will marry you.
Yes.
You know what? So never mind. It's kind of fucked up, I guess. I mean, but it is a woman he loved.
But
it didn't look like she loved him, and she died. And then her last words was, "Yes, I'll marry you," whatever. And then next thing she dies, and then it's probably in fucking all kinds of bullshit. But yeah, I love that part of the movie.
Yeah, but Dent dies after he falls off a building, which would you consider that Batman kind of tackled him?
It's funny how he tackled him, because all you hear was Batman grunt. He's like, I was like, Jesus Christ.
And then
I wish they would have showed how Dent fell, because the way he tackled him, it almost looked like he shoved his ass down that hill.
Well, how far did he fall?
It looked like a pretty goddamn far steep at the same time.
Okay.
It was more of the way of how Batman grabbed him and threw his ass, though. I was just like, Jesus Christ. See the distance between from where the ledge is to where Dent's land? It's pretty far in between each other, whatever. So I was like, Jesus, man. He had to hit that shit pretty hard.
Yeah, and then Dent's dad, Batman convinces Gordon to frame him, because if he said Joker did it, or if... They
would have found out that all these people that died and the stuff that happened was Dent's fault. Then the Dent Act and all that would have been repelled, and all the criminals would have been released, and everything would have been back to pretty much being in shambles again. But since they lied pretty much to say it wasn't Dent that did it, it was Batman, it still had that ray of hope that, oh, okay, Gotham still can be saved by even its best of good people here.
As the start of Dark Knight Rises, where they celebrate Harvey Dent.
Mm-hmm.
And then Alfred burns a letter, which I thought that was so cruel that he did that. He burns a letter written by Rachel to Bruce saying that she was going to marry Dent and yeah. that she could not be with Bruce because he was Batman.
You know, I thought that was probably a buried emotional scene right there. You know what fucked that up for me is when he tells him that in Dark Knight Rises. I was like, what? Ain't that a bitch?
Yeah, I would rather get the letter than being told.
Yeah, because he told him, like, okay, in Dark Knight Rises, it's 10 years later or whatever. And then Alfred just comes out of nowhere. You want to know what Rachel said? Just like, Jesus, man, what the fuck?
He pretty much held it over his head.
It's like, oh, okay, 10 years ago you had the nerve to burn the letter and couldn't tell me, which I thought it was an emotional scene again, but then 10 years later, because you got an attitude right now, you want to tell me about it. Ain't that a bitch?
Yeah. But the bat signal's destroyed. A manhunt is out for Batman. That's why Batman wasn't seen for 7 years or whatever till Dark Knight Rises. And then
I like the little boy in there. He's like, but Batman didn't do anything, Dad. I was like, oh my god, they finally have a smart kid in the movie for once.
Maybe that's why Gordon's wife divorced him in Dark Knight Rises. They had to keep the kid quiet. Like, we're getting divorced. That kid will not shut the fuck up.
Well, think about it. Look what Gordon did. He's like, first he faked his death and had his wife put him through that and shit like that, and then after this, she gets taken by fucking Dent and all that. Now, I mean, me and Gordon is going to be a fucked up relationship.
Well, you remember, which I thought that was a weird scene, when the cops are telling Gordon's wife that he's dead, she yeah. sees Batman while he's just, you know, creeping. He's just creeping in a fire escape. You did this. I'm like, he's a creeper.
I don't think she saw him, though, because her first line was, "Are you out there?" I don't think she saw it, though. So,
oh, well, he was creeping because the little kid saw him, though.
It was funny, though, because he's like, the girls, the wife is like, "Are you out there? You did this to him! Wherever you are!" And the boy comes out, he's like, "Huh?" He looks dumbfounded, and she doesn't know what's going on. That boy looks lost as fuck, whatever. And then, that could have been a setup for Robin.
No, shut up!
That could have been a setup for the Red Hood. You killed my family, Batman.
Wait, wasn't Gordon's daughter?
Yeah, she's Batgirl.
Batgirl.
Yeah.
Not Alicia Silverstone.
No, fuck no. You know, if they would have kept Gordon alive, they could have. If they wanted to, if they could have brought Batgirl alive, same with the whole. Everybody knows Robin's backstory is because his family was murdered as well, whatever. Batgirl, she really has her. I think the reason why she became Batgirl is because Gordon was being framed for some shit, and she wanted to help him out, or whatever. So that
gotcha.
Came out. They could have had a little small tease in her, or maybe an Easter egg, whatever they want to. If she was older, this girl's like 7 years old in this fucking movie, though. She's probably younger than that, actually.
Yeah, but
Batman's just standing over her watching, like. Yeah, bitch, he's dead, but don't worry. It's just a plan. We didn't really kill him, you know?
Did they even really need to tell, well, you know, they didn't even know about the plans, never mind.
No. So,
did they need to tell the family that, whatever, but they didn't know that if he was alive or not. I would imagine, what did they do with his body? That's what I want to know.
Whose body?
Gordon's body.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's a good question.
I would assume they'd have to take it to the mortuary or whatever, and, Dent was trying to kill that crazy dude, and after he tried to kill the crazy dude, he got arrested, so I wonder who retrieved the body and all that shit.
That is a damn good question. What happened to that?
I would imagine they had to do a forensic search on him, whatever, and I know if the body really wasn't dead, I would have assumed they would have saw that shit right away. Like, oh, shit, he's alive!
And did you see when Joker was posing as one of the cops?
Yeah.
You saw he had no face paint, how weird he looked?
Yeah, his face, like, the scars he had, it looked like something that was done from the inside of his mouth.
Yeah, you're right.
It looked like the skin was, like the skin blended in with the scars and shit, like the skin color, because I was expecting to see, like, bruises and shit, whatever, but, like, the skin covered up over it so well that I was like, oh, it looked like it's just a part of his ass.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised they didn't catch his ass, because, I mean, they only, not, like, all the dudes there, whatever, all those cops there, they only caught that one guy. I was like, wow.
And he was wearing, and his name was Rachel Dolls.
And they, how they caught him? They shot his ass. Whatever. I was like, I'm surprised they just didn't shoot everybody.
Yeah. So, what do you give The Dark Knight Rises?
Dark Knight, one of the best superhero films ever. One of the best Batman films ever. Yep. One of the greatest comic book adaptations, if anything. I give it a full see it.
I give it a full bucket. This movie is freaking amazing. I mean, I had really high hopes going to see Dark Knight Rises after seeing this, and I was really let down.
Nolan never wanted to make a third one.
No, I think the studio forced him.
No, actually, Nolan had full power of that movie.
He had full power of Batman?
Yeah, because they wanted him to do it in 3D and all that shit, and he told them, no, I'm doing this, whatever.
Well, thank God, but this movie is freaking amazing. I really wish I saw it in IMAX.
How many times did you see it in theater?
Twice.
Like six times.
Yeah, I see that. The movie is pretty long. It's close to 3 hours. I think
each scene adds something, though.
Yes. They could have maybe cut down the China scene. I don't think that was really needed. But this is...
We're going to get death threats for bringing up what happened to the body and all those little plot points or whatever we brought up, whatever. They're going to be like, it's not important why you showed that, man.
We're going to have a whole list of people why the plans worked.
Even though Z gave it a fucking full bug, I gave it a C or whatever. People are going to be like, man, you know what? He can't die from some bat blades or whatever. I mean, so what if they went through a wall? He didn't aim it directly in his face. It just went above him, man. Jesus.
Yes. And this is it's probably going to be the only superhero movie that's going to be nominated for any award, big award.
Well, that ain't being nominated. It's over now.
Unless Robert Downey Jr. does Avengers 2, when he does Avengers 2 and he dies afterwards, he'll probably win.
Who do you think... Who, out of the heroes we have today or whatever, but we know it ain't going to be Dark Knight Rises, who do you think that actor as a hero now could possibly somewhat probably win an Oscar for their role in a movie?
Superhero?
Yeah, superhero one.
Downey Jr.?
Yeah, I'll go with Michael Fassbender as Magneto.
Mm! God damn it! I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, when I saw First Class, I was like, that guy should win a period piece award or something like that, because goddamn, did he sell this whole German shit to me.
Mm-hmm. That's a good choice, man.
I wouldn't disagree with you, Robert Downey Jr., though. I wouldn't be shocked if he did get some kind of award. So.
No, he's not going to win like a Golden Globe or an Oscar, but he'll win like Blockbuster, MTV, or not Blockbuster, what the fuck, MTV or People's Choice.
He won some bullshit ass award of that. I don't even think they nominate the superhero movies at those awards neither. I remember I watched it last year, not one superhero movie, I remember got nominated at an MTV award.
I think Dark Knight Rises got nominated, but didn't win Best Picture.
It was nominated for, like, some bullshit effect award or some shit like that, whatever.
Oh, yeah, they're always going to be nominated for that. Avengers was nominated twice for special effects.
It's funny, yeah, because Avengers was nominated at the Academy Award for, like, I think it was special effects or whatever. And I was like, really? That's what you nominated that film for?
But you're absolutely right that if Heath never died, he would not have got it.
No, they wouldn't have gave a shit, because they would have just looked at that film, even with the high praises it gets from fans, people that aren't fans, critics, superhero lovers and all that, whatever, they would have looked at that and been like, that's just another superhero film, fuck it, I don't care, that man's wearing a cape and a mask, what difference, they would not nominate that shit or whatever, come on now, let's be serious about that.
Because
if they, I'm seriously, at the same time, if they were nominated Bale for Best Actor that year or whatever for Batman, I think Robert Downey Jr. should have got nominated for Iron Man as well in that year.
Did, before we go to the next movie, did you know that a cameo from the United States Senator, Patrick Leahy, whatever, he was like, he was an extra in Batman Robin, and was a guest and a voice actor on the Batman animated series. He's the one at Joker, where he kind of stands up to Joker, we're not intimidated by thugs at the party.
Yeah, that
was him. He was, he's a senator, and he's a huge Batman fan.
Is he dead yet?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't give a fuck.
I understand. And it was cool seeing Cillian Murphy return for Scarecrow for a little bit.
It's funny because I remember when Dark Knight Rises came out, I was like, I bet Cillian Murphy shows up. He's become like that small thing that you have to have in a film because it just doesn't feel like that film without him.
Yeah, and people... I mean, this is what the Sock said. That in Dark Knight Rises, when the court scene... with Scarecrow, that he says Joker has to be in that somewhere.
I don't think Joker would be running that shit then.
Mm-hmm.
He would have to be running that shit. To see Joker in the background, I think that'd be an insult, first of all. To see him, he was such an effect in The Dark Knight or whatever, that if I saw him in the background doing not a goddamn thing while that trial was going on, I probably would have been upset.
Mm, very true.
I would have been upset a little bit. I'd have been like, okay, you know what? That's bullshit over there. I know the guy died, whatever, but you know what? Just leave him out of it then. If you can't get the original actor that did it, whatever, from this series, whatever, then just leave it out of there. That storyline's done, whatever. Let's move on, whatever. But if you feel the need to put him in there and you just stick him in the background with just some other minor ass villains and characters and shit, he doesn't do a goddamn thing. I'd have been like, all right. Not only did you degrade this film, but you kind of degrade that last one as well,
mm-hmm.
making him nothing really.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's why I kind of wonder if Heath was still alive, if he would have been in Dark Knight Rises.
I think they should have just killed him in Dark Knight, to be honest. Mm. I mean, like Batman said in Batman Begins, I'm not going to save you. Or he's like, I'm not going to kill you, but I don't have to save you either. He just flies up. I was like, damn. I don't think the Batman I know would even do that.
It's true.
Well, he should have just let Joker fail and been like, I don't want to kill you, but I don't have to save you either. That way, maybe, I don't know, maybe we could have saw, like, if I saw, like, his jacket or card or something like that, that wouldn't have bothered me much. I would have been like, oh, it's just a little Easter egg, like what they did with the in the football stadium when they were holding up the R's and they were shaped like the Robin sign or
mm-hmm.
whatever. I was like, That would have been cool, whatever. But if I would have saw the actual main actor and character in that probably would piss me off.
I agree. So let's move on to Batman Under the Red Hood.
Under the Red Hood, my favorite Batman adaptation ever.
It came out in 2010, so it was 2 years after Dark Knight.
Yeah, the book came out in 83, I believe, 1983.
And this was a graphic novel, right?
Yeah, it was the graphic novel. The book was. Actually, they released a couple of books even before, the actual animated film came out. They released like a mini series of it, like setting it all up and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot how many it was. Excuse me, it might have been like seven of them or something like that. But yeah, the original one came out because it follows the Robin of Jason Todd, the second Robin after Dick Grayson. After Dick Grayson goes on to become Nightwing. Which is another reason why I like it, because this is the first Batman adaptation I saw with Nightwing in it.
Mm-hmm.
With Neil Patrick Harris voice actor in it.
Which didn't sound like him.
I know, I was like, wow, they actually got Nightwing right. So, I was like, Jesus Christ. That was the first time I saw Nightwing on screen, I was like, I love it. Well, other than the animated series itself. But.
Mm-hmm. Under the Red Hood was directed by Brandon Vitti, written by Judd Winnick, starring Bruce Greenwood as Batman, Jensen Ackles as Jason Todd, John DiMaggio as Joker. He does all those voices. He does a lot of voices and a lot of things.
Yeah, I was about to say, he does a lot of voices.
I think he does stuff for Futurama, too.
Yeah.
Neil Patrick Harris as Dick Grayson. Jason Isaacs is Ra's al Ghul, which I did not know that. Did it sound like him?
I didn't know that neither when I first saw it. When I looked up after the crowd, I watched the credits, whatever, and I was like, wow, I did not know that. I was like, this is some great voice acting in here.
Wade
Patrick Harris was in this too, because at the time I thought he was pretty big at 2010 or whatever. I was like,
yeah, he was huge. And well, Jensen Ackles does Supernatural.
Yeah.
So he was big too. Jason Isaacs was big. Greenwood not so big now. He still does a little parts here and there, but he's never been a star. Kelly Hu, what played Black Mask's secretary. Who, if you know who she was in Scorpion King.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Black Mask in this.
I did too. Phil Lamar, he was Rick. I don't know who Rick is, but
yeah, I can't wait for the new Batman game is coming out where Black Mask is gonna be here. I hope they model him just after this Black Mask because
what new Batman game?
The Arkham Origins.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And Black Mask is the main villain.
He's the main. He's the main villain in it.
Sweet.
He's like, all right, I gotta get that now.
Well, I love Arkham Asylum, and I had Arkham City, but my Xbox took a shit. And I haven't been able to play it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I want to say about 30% through. And I'm like, fuck! This game is so awesome.
Yeah, you gotta get through or whatever, because Arkham Origins is coming out or whatever this year, and Black Mask is gonna be the villain. I haven't heard him speak yet, and none of the shit I hope he's as a live character as he was in this film, because there was this. He was just angry through the whole film.
And it was a funny angry.
Because he was just like, apparently I didn't make myself clear. But I want this man dead. I want him mangled. I want him dead. D-E-A-D, dead. His head mounted on my car wall, dead.
Yeah. And I love that he goes, when, what was that robot's name? Starts with an A.
Amazo.
Batman and Nightwing take him down, and he goes, well, I could at least scrap it for parts, Batman had to get rid of him, and his secretary goes, yes, Batman likes to keep things. I started cracking up laughing, and I'm like, that is fucking awesome.
That was like at the beginning of the film, too. And Batman and Nightwing just blew up the head. He's like, I could have sold the damn thing for parts, but Batman blew the damn head off, whatever, and took parts of the piece, whatever. And she's like, yes, Batman likes to keep pieces.
I love that. I loved it.
Which is funny, because Amazo in the books and even in some of the anime shows, he's supposed to be like this. He defeated the Justice League at one point, or whatever, because he collects every one of their powers and shit like that. Batman and Nightwing whoop his ass in a matter of 2 minutes.
Yeah, they put Batman puts putty, explosive putty on his eyes, and he blows them up. And I loved Nightwing's little one-liners he did throughout this.
Yes. I said, when I saw that, I was like, not only did this is the first thing that's ever introduced Nightwing in it, but they got him so right, too. I was just like, as they're fighting whatever, he's being chatty and charming as well at the same time. I was like, I cannot express how happy I am when I saw this.
I really like Nightwing, and I really was upset that he was not in it after that scene, because he got hurt.
Yeah, one other thing, too, is, I love how the two guys that they captured, the criminals, whatever, they're, going over, because they're like, who's that guy right there in the leotard? And they're like, that's Nightwing. That was the first Robin. And as they're giving, a background story on him, whatever, Batman and Nightwing are just, beating the shit out of this robot. They work so well together that, you can tell that he was, a previous Robin or something like that.
Yeah, and I loved when they were in the Batcave, they were like, well, what do you do next? And Nightwing turns around and Bruce is and Batman's in the car. Would it kill you to say, let's go to the car once?
That man's a dick. Or even after he broke his leg, he's just like, you go home, you've done enough, thank you. And then he looked at him and was like, did you just tell me thank you?
And Alfred's like, I'm afraid he did, sir.
And he's like, weird.
But, was Red Hood a previous character in a, well, you know who Red Hood was before this.
Yeah, obviously, because, the movie follows the book pretty well. So, I think that's one reason why I love the anime films, because every time I read one of these graphic novels, I go, I want to see this translated screen, and then they do it in one of these anime films, yes!
And every time in these animated films, they get it right, page for page and everything, whatever. So, like, even, like, the actor, the voice actors that are playing it are all good and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
And if it wasn't, like, some of the people that have the voices for Batman, I'd be like, I would love to see them play, a live-action Batman. But they don't have the physical appearance, so kind of throws it off or whatever. But, yeah, so this pretty much follows, like, after 1988, the Batman's A Death in the Family, where Jason Todd died. It was funny because Jason Todd, he was the second Robin. But at the same time, he was one of the most unliked characters at the time as well that year, because how they killed him off is they had a fan polling of if they wanted him to die or not, and the fans voted, yeah, we want him to die.
Really?
Yeah, it only won by like a 100 and something still, him wanting to be killed off, whatever, but it won that way, because I think fans at the time were so upset that Dick Grayson was no longer Robin or whatever, because Dick Grayson was there for years, and they loved him and shit like that, and Jason Todd's story came in. And it wasn't as strong as Dick Grayson's was. It was like, oh, I don't relate to this guy at all. He's kind of more of that arrogant, brash Batman and shit like that. He's kind of like, you know, hard-headed and shit like that. I kind of see it in the film as well, towards the end of the film. So they killed him off, whatever, and when they came up with this story, people was like, I want him back. You gotta bring him back or whatever. But when they found out that, I mean, this is one of the best books ever, because for the simple fact that not only did they take a fan poll of killing someone off that they didn't even want anymore,
mm-hmm.
but they turned it into such a great story of how they killed him off. It was amazing.
It was very, I did not know who Red Hood was until I think Pride of Time Batman did.
Well, Red Hood used to be the Joker as well.
Yeah, they show that.
Yeah, before he became the Joker, so.
They showed that, and that was kind of cool that they had the flashback scenes. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know that, but when I was watching it and Joker's beating the living shit out of Robin,
it opens up with that too.
And I was like, "How is he not dead?" That would, you know. And Joker's doing his little funny one-liners during time, and then he blows up because he escapes, and then he sees the bomb go off, and then Batman gets there like right when it explodes, and he finds him, and he picks him up, and he goes, Jason. I'm like, who the fuck is Jason?
So you only knew Dick Grayson then?
Yes.
The Robin. You didn't know Tim Drake or Carol or any of them?
Mm.
So you didn't know the female or the other, okay, so, Tim Drake, the female one, she only wears the cape for about, I don't know, she's a really short Robin, honestly. She's actually in the new animated one they have with the Dark Knight Returns, whatever. Which is awesome to have her, because you don't see the female Robin on the screen, but she doesn't last long in the books or whatever. Then Tim Drake is probably the longest after Dick Grayson. Tim Drake is actually my favorite Robin.
Okay.
Yeah, and Jason Todd, whatever, man, he actually, excuse me, whatever. Yeah, when you say, who the fuck is Jason?
I did. I'm like, did I miss something?
I can see where non-Batman fans come in and be like, what the fuck? Who is this dude? Whatever. Yeah, so Jason.
And then we find out about Ra's al Ghul talking to his assistant about, you know, he didn't want to pair himself with a madman, and showing Joker beating Robin. I'm like, that's the madman. Then he goes, what about the detective? I'm like, who's the detective? And then he showed Batman. I'm like, really?
Oh, you never knew that that's what they call him?
Who calls him that?
Ra's al Ghul in them.
Oh, that's a who? Oh, no, I didn't know that.
That's what they've never called him Batman or Bruce or anything like that. They always call him Detective.
Well, Ra's al Ghul in this, compared to Batman Begins, he seems very proper, respectful. He didn't seem like Liam Neeson in Batman Begins.
He seemed kind of proper and respectful at the same time. He just had a different cause than what Bruce had in Batman Begins.
Mm-hmm. That's why I told you last night, like, I really wasn't liking Ra's al Ghul a lot.
I'll
get
some hate mail for that now.
well, especially when he brings back Jason Todd. When
that's how Ra's al Ghul is. What are you talking about? Ra's al Ghul, this is probably the best interpretation of Ra's al Ghul to screen.
Yeah?
Yeah, even better than Batman Begins, because Batman Begins, they obviously don't even get him right, because it's a whole different character, but he's still enjoyable on screen, whatever, but yeah, Ra's al Ghul never refers to Bruce as Bruce or Batman or anything like that. He always calls him Detective. Even when he's not even wearing the fucking mask, he calls him Detective.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ra's al Ghul said he felt bad because he got Robin killed, and he pretty much kidnaps his body and plants it with a dummy.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Ra's al Ghul doesn't kill for, like, unnecessary causes or whatever. He only kills for a purpose.
Mm-hmm. So, and that's and
he's not like the Joker. He doesn't go around just murdering people, or whatever. He murders people for a reason. It has to be a main reason. And he didn't expect it to go that far as it was. So they used the Lazarus Pit to bring Jason Todd back.
And they said he turned into a monster.
Yeah, they were pretty much like he pretty much freaked out, or whatever, because they never used the Lazarus Pit to bring anybody back to life first or whatever. But it turns out it really wasn't him being freaked out or whatever. That really is just Jason Todd's natural. Self, if you
will. Well, I kind of laughed when they showed Jason Todd as a kid. I'm like, what is this, the freaking school Justice League that they have on Nickelodeon, the little kids one?
The fucking Goonies, that's what he was. He's a little goddamn thief and shit.
I did laugh when he was in the parking, when he was in the alley, and he goes to the Batmobile, and it's got no wheels. I'm like, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, and the kid's still there. He's like taking off the last wheel and shit. He's like, Rob, these fucking wheels right.
But how'd he lift the car up to put it on crates?
That motherfucker had a jack and everything and shit. Hey, he should be, Batman should be thankful. Like, at least he put his wheels up on crates and shit.
Mm-hmm.
But that motherfucker straight up tried to rob Batman. You know Jason didn't give a fuck.
Yeah, well, that's where we, that's, I think that might have been the start of the moral code. Well, maybe not, because he's the second Robin. But he didn't like it that Robin broke, when he was a teenager, I think, when he broke the guy's collarbone.
Hey, when they was having those flashbacks of how, like, bro, I love, like, the animation in this movie of how Robin was moving and avoiding bullets, so I was like, wow, that looks badass how they designed that to be or whatever. But yeah, there was a guy who he was like, Batman was like, I got him, and Robin was like, I got him first, and then he fucking shattered his collarbone and made him go into the paralyzation or whatever, and Batman was pissed off at him. He was like, that dude would have talked, he would have gave us all the info we needed. He's like, I'm sorry, what was I supposed to do, fluff his pillow for him?
Yeah, and I'm like,
it's great.
And I kind of like, why is he? Well, I haven't read the books or the comics. I'm like, why is he such a jackass? Why is he such a douche to Batman? Who Batman looked like he never aged a day throughout that whole flashback scene.
Well, you never see Bruce's face. You only see his fucking cheek. I mean, his fucking chin. So how do you know if he aged or not?
Well, it's true, but I fuck you.
Yeah, exactly. How you gonna say some shit like that? You don't even see his fucking face. All you see is his goddamn lips, and you see it from zoomed out distance. How you know if he's Asian?
Yeah, I love he puts on. They both put on the mask for Robin, Nightwing, and Batman. That the mask all of a sudden makes your eyes all white. There's no pupils or nothing. Notice that?
Yeah, but we're like Jason. And that's how he is. He's a fucking, he's a hot-headed asshole. Like, Dick Grayson, he was pretty hot-headed at times as well, whatever. That's actually what became the split between Batman and that Robin at the time, whatever. But he wasn't nowhere near as hot-headed as Jason. Like, they even said it in a line where Bruce was talking to Alfred, and he was like, you remember when we first found Jason? He was young, talented, full of potential, so much power, whatever. But he was just so brass, angry, and arrogant, and all that, whatever, and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I would assume the older he got, the more that shit took over him.
Maybe, yeah.
Especially if you had the training that Batman gave you. I mean, shit, I'd be probably an arrogant. I ain't gonna lie, I'd probably be an arrogant asshole.
But I don't know how old that kid was when he started.
Looked like he was about 10, 11.
I would say that, yeah. I'd say he was real before he was a teenager.
Yeah, and then I would assume that the age where he was talking shit, when he shattered that guy, he looked like he probably could have been 16.
Mm-hmm. Well, 5 years after Jason Todd's death, all the criminals of Gotham are round up on a table. I think they were all working for Black Mask, right?
Yeah, and then fucking Red Hood summons a meeting, whatever. He chops off his mob boss's heads and throw it in a fucking bag.
The lieutenants, yeah.
And they were just like, they unzipped the bag, whatever, and he's like, I did that in 2.5 hours. Imagine what I could do in an all night. And then the other dude started throwing up and shit, they're like, good lord, man.
I was like, show it.
I wish they would have showed up. That would have been badass if they showed that or whatever. But he pretty much tells them, yeah, hey, I own you guys now, whatever, pretty much. He's like, I'll give you protection against Black Mask and Batman. You guys work for me. And if you don't, I'll kill you.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what he says. And he leaves or whatever. And then we get introduced to Black Mask. It was just fucking awesome.
And what was the, what's the, how'd he get a black, what happened to his face?
Who?
Black Mask.
I don't explain it in the movie or whatever. It's just,
you want to go to the book section or whatever, that could take forever, but, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. They actually introduce him with the new guy coming in to recruit for Black Mass. And he's like, look, you're new to the route, just do everything he tells you, but don't stare at his face for too long, whatever. And then they open the door, and he's like, oh, great. He's kind of angry. And then as soon as Black Mass turned around that chair, that dude looks at him and is like, ugh.
I love it when Black Mass starts punching his own guys when he's, like, trying to make a point.
He looks at me, he's like, you, new guy. You look nervous, whatever. He's like, look here, you ain't got nothing to be nervous about, but you keep staring at me like that, I'll cut your goddamn eyeballs out. And then he just, like, the dude gives him a look or whatever, and he punches that dude right in the nose and shit. How many scenes was it when he was just beating up his own guys?
I think two.
Because there was another scene where he got so damn angry that this heist didn't go right because the whole helicopter thing didn't go right. He just, like, threw the table and shit, and then he just started walking up next to his guy because one of the guys went, and he looked at that dude because his secretary was talking to him.
Yeah.
Because they were talking about it. He's like, why hasn't Batman caught this dude yet, whatever? And she was like, well, maybe Batman's just like, he's like, you're an idiot. And then that other dude over there, and then one of his guards went, he looked over at that dude, he threw that table and walked over there and just started punching. Like, there was a lineup of his men. He just started punching each one and shit. I was like, damn.
Yeah.
And then Red Hood had a rocket launcher on him, whatever, and he starts like little red dot gun. He's like, and then he pushes his own dudes out of the way.
Yeah, and I loved, and after the explosion, the secretary says, are you okay? And he goes, I'm not dead.
I'm not dead. He treats him like shit. But I like Red Hood's line. He was just like, wow, you sure can move fast.
Yeah, I love that.
Because that dude saw that red dot. He was gone. He everybody was looking at him like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
That dude was out of there like, no tomorrow.
Well, Black Mass pretty much breaks Joker out of prison.
Mm-hmm. Cause he's like, I'm being forced to deal with a psychopath, so I need the psychopath to take him out, whatever. What did you think of after Batman found out it was Jason Todd or whatever, and they had that fight scene against the Fearsome Four? And
then, I thought it was awesome!
What about the scene after that, though? And then Black Mass was like, Fearsome Four? Well, they better get a new name now.
Black Mass was the comic relief. He overpassed Joker in this one.
He was awesome because of his dialogue was so good. Like, his delivery and his dialogue was awesome. But because Jason Todd kills one of them, and he's like, we sent the Fearsome Four after him, and Black Mass was like, they need to change their name now.
Yeah. That was good. But when they broke Joker out of Arkham Asylum, you see the security guards, and then that black guy comes in, he goes, you're not supposed to work today. Oh, I traded shifts, you know, I need this money for my kid or whatever, and he gets shot. I'm like, aw.
He had, like, a sweet story, and the next thing, his ass just dropped to the ground, whatever. And even the dude's like, you didn't have to kill him, and the guy tells him, one, yes, I did. Two, we're paying you a lot of money. Three, open the damn door. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I love, and
that fight scene with Red Hood and Batman against the Fearsome Four, though, I love that fight scene. Like, you get to see Batman use all of his martial arts techniques and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Just amazing. I was like, Jesus. That's what I meant when we was doing the Dark Knight review. Like, I want to see, like, a hand-to-hand combat with Batman. I want to see his skills put to use or whatever. I never felt like I got that in any of the Nolan trilogy films.
Not even against Bane?
Nah, it was just more just punches and shit, and it wasn't working.
Okay.
Bane, I didn't want to see it. It's kind of like not. I mean, that's what I was really excited for, because I wanted to see that one or whatever, but it was just punches, and it kind of was kind of unfair that Bane was a superpower.
Yeah. But,
I can't really use martial arts on that motherfucker or whatever, so it would have been badass had he had to fight, like, well, if Liam Neeson did martial arts or whatever, that would have been something. Because Ra's al Ghul does that shit, so.
But I thought that was a cool scene, and then he pretty much confirms. He thinks that Red Hood is Jason Todd. He kind of, like, thinks it is, because he's seen...
He did detective skills.
Yeah, he saw a knife or a sword that had his blood on it and kind of used it.
Before that, though, because he did the whole the voice thing with the command, because when they first meet up, when Nightwing breaks his leg or whatever, he tells him, he's like, you haven't lost your touch, and then the sound gets distorted out because the train comes, whatever, and then Batman does his detective work, whatever. It's probably the most of the film that he does the most detective work in.
Yeah, and then he confirms it when he sees the blood, and then Alfred walks in and drops his auto stuff and can't believe it.
And then he go digs up the body. Batman was pissed after that.
I thought he was going to start punching the dummy.
I thought he was going to punch Alfred, honestly, because there was a scene where Alfred was trying to calm him down, and Batman was just like, I thought he was talking to himself at first, because he's just like, stupid and careless. I was like, Jesus Christ, calm down, Batman, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Because there was a scene where he's like, Jason knows you love him. He's like, you was just so distraught that I don't think you wanted to check the body because of what happened or whatever. And then he comes out of that room, wherever he changed into the suit, and he looks at Alfred and go like, it was dumb and careless and reckless of me for not checking the body. I was like, okay, man, just calm down. Don't hit me. I'd have been scared if I was Alfred. I was
I know, Alfred really didn't have much to do in this.
He was like, where are you going, Master Bruce? He was like, to find the mad Cobra. I was like, Alfred, don't ask any more questions. Leave him alone.
Yeah.
Leave him alone, man.
I did like Black Mask and Joker together when they were sitting in the room. And then Joker gets a knife and kills all four Black Mask men.
It was a cup.
Oh, yeah, it was a glass, because he wants a glass of water. And he cuts the guy's throat, takes his gun, right?
Shoots everybody in the goddamn room, too.
And he goes...
Black Mask was talking to him all serious. He's like, look, a business perspective here, whatever. And Joker's just eating on a bag of potato chips, acting like he's ignoring him and shit like that. And he's like, look, I just need you to kill somebody. You think you can handle that? And he's like, can I have a glass of water? Then he just breaks that glass, whatever, and just slicks this one dude's throat, take his gun, and shoot three other guys in the room, and... Black Mask doesn't even flinch at all. He just stares at him, and he's like, I'm going to need some guys, but not these guys, because they're all dead.
Yeah. Like I said, Black Mask was funny, but Joker did have his moments, like we said earlier, when he
gets funnier in the end. He gets funnier, because, like, he wasn't really in the movie as much at the beginning, but, like, at the end of the film, where he talked a lot, he was just so fucking... He was such a character in the film. I was just like, oh my god, he would not shut the fuck up, will he?
When Red Hood was beating him with the crowbar, pretty much a remembrance from 5 years before, that he's locked up and Batman comes in. He goes, why do you kill this guy? And Joker falls out of a closet and he goes, hey, bats or whatever, let's take a picture.
The door breaks open because Red Hood kicks it. He's like, but you didn't kill this piece of garbage? And then Joker wakes up. He just starts laughing. He's like, and then he just fucking hops with the chair. He's like, well, what do you know? The kid has come back from the grave to make this shindig happen. He's like, let's take photos. Me and all three of us. Me and the bats. Then me and the boy. And how about one with the crowbar?
I loved it. And, would Batman ever kill a villain? That kind of proves that he felt distraught when Todd got killed. So that pretty much says he won't kill anyone.
Yeah. There has been some, in previous conversations where he didn't really want to kill him, but, like, the older comics he does. Like, in Dark Knight Returns, he kills Joker.
Does he?
Yeah, he fucking snaps his neck and spits on him.
Holy shit.
And then he sets his body on fire.
Nah.
Yeah. That's serious. I told you, you need to read this shit and write it and watch the new one that came out. I'm telling you, man. Batman's not to be fucked with.
Batman sounds like a dick.
Yeah, he's the biggest dick in the world, I'm telling you.
Greatest detective and biggest dick.
He snaps his neck and then he spits on this dude and then sets a bomb on his body, whatever, where it blows and where it incinerates his body on flames and shit.
Wow, I can't picture Batman doing that. I gotta see this now.
Yeah, this Batman didn't give a fuck at the time, whatever. So, but like, yeah, like, back to the Black Mask thing. So Black Mask got this deal going with Joker, or whatever, right? And fucking Joker ties Black Mask up and throws him in the truck with him.
Yeah, all the mob bosses, the black guy.
Yeah.
All his men, the secretary pours gasoline. He can't get the lighter, and this is the only time you see Gordon too.
The Black Mask is like, he's like, hey, what are you doing? That's my part of the deal. He's like, I just figured you'd want us to meet all your old crime bosses and everything. He's like, ah. And then when Red Hood explains like the whole plan he had set up, because Joker is like, wait a minute, that would assume that you set this little thing up, whatever. And he was like, I did. And then Black Mask like, you can't trust anybody.
Yeah. And then Batman saves the day after he drops the lighter in, and he pours, like, like a fire extinguisher fluid
it's
all over.
It's a pretty fucked up Batman film. There's a lot of death in this. There's a lot of deaths in this.
It was. The only one that died was probably the first one that got the lighter thrown on him.
I was like, Jesus Christ, that'd have been another minute where the people would have been smoking. All I heard was Black Mass screaming in there. He was like, ah!
Yeah. And, I mean, this, and then we find out that,
But then we get that cool-ass fight scene with, Jason, because, Jason Todd takes Joker, and he starts, it goes like, Joker's like, you said we met before, where have we? And he's like, let's just say you created me, and then Joker just looks like, ooh, cryptic.
I love that. And then he starts beating him with the thing. I think that's when he realized.
But then he was like, tell me, does it hurt? And he just said, only when I laugh. I was like, man, you know what? Yeah, that'd been me as a Red Hood. I'd been pissed off that this dude ain't crying or some shit. I'd be like, this motherfucker finds everything goddamn funny, doesn't it? I bet if I hang his ass right now, we'd find him funny.
But I'm gonna
cool ass fight scene between Batman and Red Hood himself, whatever. That was I loved it.
And the bomb and Red Hood, he was gonna kill Joker. And Batman was just gonna walk away, and he pulled out the.
Before that, though, we gotta talk about that fight scene, man. You gotta talk about that fight scene. I'm sorry, you can't talk about that fight without the fight scene. The fight scene where they ran into the bathroom and Batman started using his martial arts, I was like, that's Batman right there.
It was kind of mirror image a little bit of both of them.
Yeah, it was so similar because the whole movie Red Hood is like, I'm a better Batman than you'll ever be because I know what's necessary and what needs to be done, and I need to murder these people, or whatever. And they have a nice little dialogue scene where Batman's like, you'll never understand. I don't think you ever understood. That's what I was trying to teach you or whatever. But it's just too damn easy to murder off villains left and right or whatever instead. And when they get into that bathroom and Batman's beating the shit out of him and throwing him around, he's like, you want to be Batman? Well, then you need to do better. And he just, like, fist palms him through the... I was like, yes! Yes!
Well, when you picked the movie, I kind of watched the trailer. I thought... when I was watching the trailer of it, I thought Red Hood was like a new superhero. I didn't know a superhero to actually kill the villains. I didn't know anything about Todd or Robin or any of that stuff. So I was kind of surprised that
it's a great Robin story.
It is. It really is. And you know, it was a very interesting story. I didn't know anything about it. It was a new take on Batman for me.
That's cool because you're someone that's familiar with Batman in the films, whatever, but you're not familiar with the book, so to see something like this for you, it's like, oh wow, I feel like I saw something fresh now.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, it's true. It was fresh because I'll still say it that this Joker reminded me a lot of Heath Ledger's Joker. Batman was kind of a dick, which was new compared to Dark Knight. And
are you serious? Batman's a dick in everyone.
He was more of a dick in this one.
Yeah,
got
them right. They got everybody right here. Like, no Batman film touched these characters in here as far as getting them right.
No, Joker was not cartoonish like he was in every Batman. He was a very dark Joker.
Yeah, this Joker was fucking dark and crazy.
Which was cool. I liked it.
I would not fuck with this Joker whatsoever. Like even someone like Black Mask, big mob boss like him. Trying to break a deal with him. He didn't even take him serious. I would not fuck with this Joker whatsoever.
No, you're absolutely right.
I would not fuck with this. Like he ties up Black Mask well, and I'm like, nah, I'm cool, man. Even when to the point where you're beating the shit out of him, he's still... Okay, we're getting to after the scene where Batman fist-palms Robin, right, or Jason Todd, right through the room. He pulls a gun, and he's just like... Batman's like, I'm sorry that I let you get killed. And Robin's like... You really think that's the reason why I'm so angry or whatever? He's like, no, it's because, and he kicks the door. He's like, it's because you left this pathetic piece of garbage live or whatever. And then Joker wakes up and he's just like, after being beat to a fucking pulp, he's still like, so he's just happy that he brought this together. Okay?
Yeah, he brought the family reunion back.
How about a picture of me and the crowbar? Then all three of us. Then one with the crowbar. Then me and Bats.
Yeah, but,
and then Jason Todd kicks him and just like, you be quiet or I'll put one in your lap first. And he's like, oh.
Todd Red Hood pretty much gave Batman an ultimatum. Kill him, kill Joker, or he dies.
Okay, Joker is fucking crazy in this film because he even after that was done, Joker just laughed. And he's like, ah, I love it. Oh, the suspense, the attention. Oh, I was like, is he having an orgasm right now?
Yeah, well, remember when the bomb was going to go off towards the end that Batman was about to save Robin, or Todd, and Joker tackles Batman, goes, we all go together.
Let's... I was like, what is wrong with him? Because he gets him, Jason Todd gives him an ultimatum. He's like, look, either you kill him or I'll kill him myself, whatever, so you need to stop me right now. He throws Batman a gun, and Batman's like, you'll never understand. He's like, and Jason Todd's like, well, I'm not talking about killing Penguin, Harvey, or all of them, whatever. I'm just saying kill him. After all the people he's done, all the people he's murdered and everything, Batman's like, you can't believe how many times I'd have thought about just torturing him and everywhere. And Joker's like, aw, you think about me.
I love that. I loved it. I loved it.
So he's like, you got an ultimatum. You either kill him, and Batman just drops the gun and walk away, and then you see like a small little batarang falls out of his glove, whatever. And as Jason Todd shoots it, they do a slow, good bullet time shot of Batman dodging it and throwing his batarang right into the gun and pulling the trigger back and shooting off Jason Todd. And Joker falls to the ground. He's just laughing. He loves it. He's just like, you always find a way to win, Bats. Oh, I love it. The suspense. It's just amazing. I was like, he is really intrigued by this shit.
Well, did it backfire? Did it ricochet? What happened to Todd?
Because he was going to fire again, and it backfired on him. It just, like, blew the gun up itself.
Okay, because I'm like, how does he get... He got knocked out?
Yeah, and then his fingers is all fucked up and shit from, of course, from the explosion of the gun itself. Whatever.
Yeah, and Joker...
sitting there loving it. Then Jason Todd presses the button because he's about to blow the place up, and Batman's about to deactivate it. But then Joker grabs him, like, no! I want it to end this way because at the end of the day, I'll be the only winner.
Yeah, and I'm like, you're going to die, you piece of shit. You're not really going to win.
Crazy motherfucker, you're going to die too, you know?
Yeah, and then the bomb blows. The bomb blows up, and Joker's alive, and Todd's wasn't found?
Todd is alive as well.
He's alive.
What they show you in the movie is, in the books, he's alive, whatever. He joins, I forgot the name of the team, to be honest, whatever. But in the movie, what they show is, it looks like Batman saving Jason Todd instead of Joker.
Mm-hmm.
In the events, he saved both of them.
But okay.
He just completely forgot about Jason Todd as far as being like, look, I'm just letting him go on and be whatever he wants to be as long as he gets the fuck out of my city. It's kind of one of those things.
Okay.
Even as he founds him, he's just laughing.
Joker's laughing,
like,
yeah.
Pull some debris back, and Joker's like, really? And I was like, this guy is fucking crazy. Okay?
Well, that's what was awesome about this Joker, is like, he loved the pain.
He seriously did not give a fuck, and I was like, they seriously got this Joker correct on like, all points low. Like, with the Dark Knight, they couldn't go to this extreme with that Joker. Number one, that being a live-action film, and number two, not being rated R. So with this one, they had the ability to go as far as they wanted with this Joker.
Well, I don't think you can do a rated R comic book movie. Because comic book movies are aimed at kids.
You can't tell me that, because Blade was rated R.
Blade is not a Batman or a Superman.
Yes, he is. He's in the Marvel comics with Spider-Man and all them, though. Yeah, he teams up.
But you can't do a Batman R, you can't do a Superman R, you can't do a Iron Man R, you can't do those type of movies R.
Superman should never be rated R. Batman and Iron Man can be rated R if they want to be.
Iron Man could be rated R?
Iron Man could be rated R because of the whole alcohol abuse and stuff. Iron Man actually kills people too, so.
Yeah, okay.
So, Iron Man can be rated R.
Okay.
And it's under Disney, of course, it's not going to go that far or whatever. And plus, it's not going to attract the money that it's being spent on as well. So, that being PG-13 is a business decision.
Okay. But, yeah, I kind of, with Lehu said on a Facebook post that imagine if Nolan did this, if he could get a rated R.
Nolan would have fucked this up. Nolan can't write.
He wrote Dark Knight.
Jonathan Nolan was the one that handled that more than Nolan did.
Okay.
Nolan wrote on Dark Knight Rises and Man of Steel, and look where that went.
I haven't seen Man of Steel yet.
Man of Steel is shit. I'm sorry. Man of Steel has a lot of writing problems.
Okay, well...
That, though, is a lot of fanboys are going to give Zack Snyder more shit than they are Nolan, whatever. And
what it really looks like is fucking, when it comes down to its writing, it's horrible.
Okay, well, I have to see it first, and that's gonna be...
I don't blame Nolan's... I'll say his writing was bad, but the simple fact, maybe Nolan just didn't know what the fuck he was talking about in Superman film, because he was trying to relate to Batman so much. But Dark Knight Rises has a lot of writing problems in it as well.
Yeah, what was the ending? What they say? Joker got back to the asylum, Black Mask got held on, was free to go?
Yeah, he paid his parole, which was $1 million to get out, whatever. Joker was sent back to Arkham, and it was like, well, we doubled the security to make sure he never gets out of kids. And, of course, Black Mask freed him, so paid his parole. And then it ends with Batman giving that speech to Alfred, saying he's like, I live with this burden or whatever, Jason death and all that.
Yeah, that's why, because Alfred asked him if he can take down the Robin suit, because he had pretty much a memorial in the Batcave.
Yeah, and it's something that I went to. Another thing I like about the film too, it's something of showing Batman of how he deals with his grief and stuff, of all the mistakes that's happened as far as him, because Batman's one of those guys that's like, I don't make mistakes. Just like, this ain't supposed to happen. Like he said in the movie, he was my soldier, my trainer. He did anything for me, whatever that I asked him, and I got him killed. He's like, that's my burden to live with, and I'm gonna deal with it like I carry everything else, or whatever. So,
That's actually a cool new character thing for Batman, because
that was always a character thing about Batman. They never got that shit right. None of the movies.
because he actually felt guilt. Tried it in Dark Knight Rises with Rachel, but. It really didn't work, because he wasn't with Rachel.
And the thing with Rachel, too, compared to as far as, like, Robin or his family or something like that, is number one, it was his parents, and number two, with Robin, he feels more blamed for that, for the simple fact that because he's the one that put him in that costume.
Yeah. That's true.
It's my fault that is the reason why. With Rachel, it necessarily wasn't his fault that... It was her fault mainly for being with fucking Harvey Dent. Let's
just yeah, her, chose her, the wrong her, guy.
Yeah, exactly. And for her, or for opening up her goddamn mouth in that that party scene where Joker's looking for a family or a loved one and shit. All she had to do was listen to Bruce, where he told her just stay back here and you won't get found wherever. And this bitch had to open up her goddamn mouth.
Okay, that's a good point.
Now I love this film. Best adaptation of Batman ever.
Ever. Oh,
yeah, ever, Nolan, no, hell no. That's the thing that's great about these fucking animated films, whatever, is that they don't get, like, big directors and shit like that to work on. They get people that actually know the books. They get people that do artwork for the books and shit like that. Do they? Yeah, they go straight to the book source itself.
Oh, I did not know that. Like, I don't know really how a direction of animation movie would work. I mean, it's like not live action directing, like, you know, what I do, but I don't understand how a comic book or a comic movie would work on a direction, because you're not directing actors. Mm-hmm. It's weird to me how it would work.
I think it's a lot harder as far as voice acting goes.
Well, yeah, I mean, like I said, I didn't know that was Neil Patrick Harris. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that was Jason Isaacs, and he's got that thick accent.
Yeah. Plus, you need to, like, voice acting, you have to time it right, the line has to be delivered in a certain way, whatever, the pacing of it has to be right, whatever. I think it's a lot harder, especially when you're playing a character. Like, Black Mask, that had to be hard to pull off.
Yeah, I would say so. Joker was just a fun character.
He really was, whatever. He's a guy that I wouldn't want to be around with.
No.
I wouldn't want to be nowhere near that motherfucker. Like, with the Joker in Dark Knight, hey, shit, I'll work with him. Fine, fuck it, let's do it, blow this boat up, whatever and shit, but, in this one, hell fucking no, I don't want to be nowhere near this dude, fuck that.
So, you ready for our ratings?
I don't even want to work for Black Mask, he punching motherfuckers.
No, you're gonna stand up, Joker would kill a motherfucker.
This dude is getting angry for no reason, punching motherfuckers. All that dude did was cough, and he looked over his secretary, so he's like, God damn it! And he just started, I was like, oh shit. But he does pay you nicely, so never mind, though. But,
probably.
I gotta give it a high C. Favorite Batman adaptation ever. I gotta say right now, it's something, when I see movies, like this, that, like with Iron Man 3, the reason why I like the movie a lot, whatever, is because they have everything of an Iron Man book. They have this character in it, they have that plot element there, they have that in there. With with this movie, I feel like they had the Robin in there, they had Nightwing in there, they had the Joker in there, they had Black, they have the minor villains like Black Mask in it. They had
Riddler was in it for a second.
What was that?
Riddler was in it for a second in a flashback scene. Got kicked in the nuts. He didn't talk.
It was, God damn, I forgot his name now.
He didn't talk.
No, but somebody, well, it was, well, he did talk. What are you talking about? He did talk.
I don't remember him talking.
He had two lines.
Oh, I don't know.
God, it was Bruce Timm.
Edward Nygma, yeah.
Bruce Timm is the guy that, he pretty much is the backhand of, like, all these animated DC films.
Oh, he, illustrated, Harley Quinn.
Yeah, Bruce Timm is the man behind these fucking animated DC films, or whatever. Like anything that's DC related, as far as the comics go, or whatever, Bruce Timm has his hand in it.
I'm kind of curious if they would ever do a live version of Harley Quinn.
Yeah, probably not.
No.
No.
She's a cult classic character.
Yeah, they had their chance with Dark Knight, and if they didn't do it in that, then I don't think.
I don't, but yeah, but you think this Dark Knight's Joker would have had a partner?
With the Dark Knight or the
Dark Knight? No. I would say this. I would say this one too.
Well, actually, the Dark Knight, I could see him having like a. If she wasn't around him as much, I could see him being around people because he was recruiting people left and right.
Okay.
And plus, he was so I could see that part. But if she was around him for long, I don't know if they because Harley Quinn has some kind of like fantasy, not like a love fantasy, kind of like a love fantasy, but not
she's
fantasy,
obsessed with him.
Yeah, not kind of. I couldn't have seen that in the film, or whatever. But I could see like some kind of partnership. If they would have toned her down like they did with Catwoman and Dark Knight Rises, I could have saw that.
Okay, maybe a little Easter egg of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't think they'll touch that anytime soon.
Okay, I would give this a bucket because it was my very first Batman cartoon movie I've ever seen.
Watch the animated series.
No, I haven't.
Oh man, you gotta get so much hate mail.
Why am I getting hate mail?
Man, people love that fucking series. Dude.
Okay.
And the fact that you're talking about Batman, you haven't seen it. Jesus Christ, dude, you're a fucking noob.
What?
People gonna be like, what? You haven't seen it? Who? What?
Well, to the fan people out there, I apologize that I have not seen or read the stuff, but.
Dude, not seen it. I think everyone has seen that cartoon show that used to come on when it kept.
No, I don't remember watching it.
Really?
When was this on?
Oh, man, like early mid-90s? I forgot what years.
I don't remember it.
That was like one of the best Batman adaptations ever before these animated films started coming out.
I don't remember any of that.
Wow, good lord. You got a lot of catching up to do.
I do. You're my supplier.
Yeah, supplier. I'll supply you.
But I would say this is a bucket because it's a new Batman. This is a new story of the Batman that I did not know. For me, and I loved it. I like you said, the story was very interesting. I had no idea who Jason Todd was, but I didn't care. I didn't care at all, and that was a great thing that I'm like, wasn't bothered that they had a Robin. I'm like, okay, whatever. But.
It made something look cool.
Yeah, it did. But it was a very, very good story of Batman. I loved Joker, and this is the first time I've seen Black Mask in anything. And he was a kid. If he's like this and like, kind of like this in the comics or books, I want to see more of him.
Get your chance in Arkham City. Arkham Origins.
Yeah, is that going to be on the PlayStation 4 and X1?
Yes. I think it's going to be on the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 as well, too.
Okay, because, yeah, if that comes out this fall. Oh, yeah, I definitely have to get my Xbox fixed.
Yeah, man, it's definitely one of those things if you're getting into Batman because of the Nolan films and you haven't seen anything else with Batman, whatever. If you're getting fatigued with him and you're hearing too much about him, I think these animated films are something to be like, that's something new and fresh of him I've never seen before in the live-action films.
You're right, because, like I said, I knew Nightwing, I knew that character. I knew it was Grayson, but I did not know there was a second Robin, so that was cool to find out. Black Mask was a cool character that I want to know more about his origin. I love the Fearsome Foursome. I love them.
need to change that name now.
I thought they were very cool villains. It's kind of like the Royal Family from that Doom movie I was telling you about.
Yeah, the Royal Flush gang.
Royal Flush. I like them, so I want to know, you know, you kind of got me interested in knowing more about this stuff.
You know what? I got to send you the one for, because I'm telling you, I told you about that death of how he kills Joker. I have to send you that Dark Knight Returns then, whatever. So when you see that, you're just going to be like, I take it back and saying he was a dick and under the red hood.
That's, I mean, this is the kind of superhero I want to see. I want to see a guy that does kill, that, you know, that wants the vengeance and all that stuff. That's who I want to see. I want to see a dark superhero.
You don't remember Punisher Warzone? God damn it, Castle!
I try to forget that. That's not hard. That's not too bad.
That largely was horrible. But yeah, I have to send you. It's a two-parter. The first part one came out last November, and part two came out this year, like in February, I believe. And
but they're not going to be on Netflix for a while?
You never know. That's the newest one so far. So probably not for like till the end of the year. Maybe even next year, to be honest. But it shows you the older Batman, like 20 years from what we have Batman today or whatever and shit. The older Batman, older Superman or whatever, he's in retirement. It's pretty much where the storyline of the Dark Knight Rises came from that Nolan took from, whatever. It shows you that or whatever. And this when he comes out of retirement, he says, fuck it, dude. I'm tired of all this crime and shit. I'm murdering people now.
Really?
Yeah, there's like the first dude he gets his hands on, he throws him up into some electrical wires and he electrocutes his ass.
Wow, really?
The Joker, he's just, I don't want to say too much or don't spoil, but the Joker, he gets a gun and he's at an amusement park. He just runs around just shooting anybody in his way.
Oh my god, I gotta see
this.
And
they show you this shit too. Like, you see the bodies of the blood squirt out of them. I was like, Jesus.
I have to see this.
Yeah, and a new one just came out, The Flash. It's a Flash movie, but it has the other Justice League members in it. And where Flash goes to a parallel universe or whatever, it's Flash Paradox or whatever, and they have like where Bruce's father in this world is Batman.
Really?
Yeah, so like Batman, Bruce is the one that got murdered, and his wife becomes the Joker.
Ah! That's weird.
When I saw that on screen, I was like, that is I would like to see that concept. But like, so the mugger kills Bruce, the wife becomes the Joker, and the father becomes like Batman. But this Batman is more of, he uses guns, and he drinks.
That's interesting.
This Batman's
kind of
a dick.
Oh, man. Dude, that sounds so fucking interesting. I want to see this shit now.
Yeah, I'll send you these, because I always get the Blu-rays, and they always come with the DVD ones or whatever.
Yeah.
So I don't really watch those or whatever, but I'll send you those. But, yeah, they're only like an hour and 15, 20 minutes. Whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And Under Red Hood, it did not seem like the whole time, which was the final running time was 75 minutes. It didn't seem like that. It seemed like maybe a half hour.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, that's it? Mm-hmm. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, I want to see more.
I don't think any one of them goes over an hour and a half, to be honest.
Well, cartoon movies do take a lot of time, so I do understand that. Mm-hmm. And what's the DC, is it Warner Brothers Animation? I don't see a lot of their movies. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not Disney or Pixar or DreamWorks.
Yeah,
you know.
But their budget isn't as big as Disney. I mean, Disney or Pixar and shit like that.
So no. Yeah. The Mouse has that covered.
Yeah, but the hour and 15 minutes, it felt like as if I was watching a full-length feature film, though.
But I loved every second. I love Nightwing, like you said. I'm like, I know that's Neil Patrick Harris. I know it is, but goddamn, it does not sound like him.
I know, like, could you picture Neil Patrick Harris, like, in live action with a Batman?
No.
I think as far as, like, Neil Patrick Harris or whatever, as far as, like, his charm or whatever, I think he had the charm, but I just couldn't see it visually. So when I saw that, I was like, that's Neil Patrick Harris. I was like, I would have never guessed a voice in him as,
No, it was a good voice. I mean, he's got a nice voice presence. That's the cool thing about Neil Patrick Harris. And that's why I love How I Met Your Mother. And I like his voice. He's got a nice voice, and his character was very cool. A smartass.
Yeah, he's real smartass. I like it, though. Love it. Yeah, I gotta send you the rest of these DC animated films, man. Because I have all of them. I have all, like, every animated Marvel or DC.
I believe it.
I fucking love them. Well, most of them on Netflix these days, whatever, but not all of them. But
let me see on my streaming site if Dark Knight's on there.
No, I doubt. Oh,
Batman Dark Knight Part 1, Batman Dark Knight Returns Part 2.
Yeah, those are it.
Yeah, that's on there.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll definitely have to check that out.
And that's where the famous line comes from when he tells Superman. But I'm not going to spoil it here, so.
Oh, let's go. So we had two Batman movies, and they're both Seats and Buckets.
Yeah, they're fucking phenomenal.
Thank God you didn't go with Batman Robin.
Well, you would have loved that film, too.
I've seen it. It's horrible.
Well, one thing was I was going to pick a bad one, but then I was just like, oh, you picked the best live-action one. I didn't pick the best animated one, man. So, I was like, you ain't gonna pick no fucking bad one.
Yeah, I would have been upset if we had to pick one of these.
And I'm even, glad I picked that one, too, because the fucking polling was crazy. People love Under the Red Hood.
Even after watching this, I'm like, we can't pick. We have to do both. And this was last night I watched it. I'm like, oh, this would have been so hard to pick. I'm like, we have to do both. So, we made good decision today.
Well, I'm glad that you are interested in watching the rest of the DC animated films.
Oh, hell yeah, I am.
Yeah, because they're fucking something that I don't think can be touched in Hollywood's domain right now.
No, like, they're doing something different.
Yeah, they're special. I don't know if all the other guys that I have pictures watches them or whatever, but this is something definitely to sit down and like view this up for a fucking whole audience of Batman lovers, whatever. Because you look at this and be like, wow, like that one where I told you where he killed the Joker or whatever, that shit, like, yeah, my eyes opened wide. I was like, God damn. And then after he snapped his neck or whatever, then when he spit on him, I was like, Jesus. He spit on him like, fuck you.
Yeah. But it was really cool. I really enjoyed it. Thank you for actually having me watch that.
My pleasure. Now, you ready for some comments now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we got Andrew here. He says, glad to see you guys are spreading out in your film choices. You're right, P1. Kind of forgotten about this film, but hearing you guys, and he's talking about Mulan, of course. Kind of forgotten about this film, but hearing you guys talk about it made me rewatch it on Netflix. This really was a great Disney film. I really wish more animated films would go the route that this did, because it was fun and dark, but very emotional animated film.
Yeah, Mulan was, for seeing it the first time, that was very dark. That was not a Disney movie.
Bitch, get in that kitchen and make me some chicken.
No, stir fried rice, motherfucker.
Yeah, some chicken fried rice then, bitch.
No, but the only part I would say to Disney was the happy ending, which all cartoon movies are going to have a happy ending.
Every movie has a happy ending. I don't give a damn if it's live action. Every fucking movie has
not
a happy
every
ending. Bullshit. Almost every goddamn movie has a happy ending.
Sixth Sense.
If it doesn't have a happy ending, you know what it's going for? It's going for a sequel then.
It's going for, yeah, or shock value. Like, the bad guy wins. That's shock value.
Yeah, they never do an unhappy ending unless it's like, oh my God, like, it's trying to be different, or it's out there, or it's Korean.
But, true. Mulan, it is a dark movie compared to every Disney movie, because it shows you what time was really like back then for the women. Which we discussed that last week.
Yeah, we discussed it the other day, actually, when I told you that they actually did make a live-action one based off the Disney one.
Yeah, you said you ordered it.
Yeah, I ordered it. I should get that tomorrow, Tuesday, I believe, so I can't wait to watch that shit so I can see. I want to see the fight scenes, honestly. I want to see how it was done in live, because they actually got people that actually know martial arts in it and shit like that, so I'm like, oh.
No, so, but this was a very different Disney animation movie, and they have not gone back down this route
No, I can't.
I think the mouse is worried.
I want to say Mulan probably the last film that actually took that chance of doing that, honestly. Cause
do you think it's taking a chance for Disney animation? Do you think they're really going on a limb?
With Mulan or just in general?
With this type of movie, with a Mulan type of movie.
I don't know at the time, because I don't really, because I was young, obviously, I don't know what the fuck was going on in 1998 back then or whatever, but I don't know. Now I would assume He'd be taking a chance because, you know, they'd be like, oh, but people don't want to see that shit. They want to see something that ain't so demeaning and down like that, whatever. Or at this time, like, people don't care about this kind of stuff, whatever. That's why Disney doesn't make animated films like this. They're making shit about planes these days.
True.
If it's not selling toys, Disney ain't making it.
Exactly.
Next comment comes from Elizabeth. She says, great show. This is probably the only Disney cartoon movie that I can picture as a live-action movie. The fight scenes would be badass. And Elizabeth, shit, I agree with you, shit. That's why I can't wait to get this fucking movie.
Which, it's based on the Mulan story, but it's not, it's just based on the Mulan story. It's just a live-action movie of it.
Yeah, it's based off obviously the Disney one or whatever, and my favorite part about it is it wasn't made in America. So.
Yeah, in Korea and foreign movies, they push the limit.
Yeah,
so
they don't give a shit.
You will probably see Mulan get raped. I don't know.
You know what? That joke got just made about bitch getting there and make that. You might even hear that. You are a woman. You will stay in the kitchen and you will serve my goddamn dinner. I don't want to hear no talk about this of you. Or about that scene where in the Disney one where she ran out when the guard tried to give her father that invitation to the world, whatever that was, whatever. Yeah. I would love to see a scene live action. Father, no, don't do it. He probably slaps her. Don't ever get in my way like that again, bitch. You let a man walk first.
It was pretty good. It was
a lot of blood. It's gonna be a lot of I can't wait. Can't wait. It's gonna be like the Raid. Is that better?
I haven't seen the Raid.
Oh, you never seen the Raid? Oh, man, you gotta see that, too. It's not on Netflix, never mind.
Yeah, I'll watch it, don't worry.
It's kinda like Dread.
Okay. Dread 2, the new Dread.
Yeah, the new one.
Okay. Oh, that's why they were comparing it, okay.
Yeah, Dread kinda stole its plot line, but...
Oh, fuck that.
The Raid is a badass film, though, so yeah, check that out. Last comment here comes from Cynthia. What a polling you guys have there for two of the best Batman films. What is your favorite Batman film, book, and costume design? Goddamn.
Since this is probably a hard question for you, I'll answer it. Film is Dark Knight. Book, I can't really say because I have not read the books. But costume design, I would say Batman. No, I'm not going to say Batman Robin. But I would say the new one, the Dark Knight bat suit was pretty cool.
The Batman suits of Batman and Robin didn't bother me, except it bothered me that it was trying to be pornographic.
With the nipples?
With the nipples and the ass shots on there.
And it had didn't it have like a cup?
Yeah, it had a cup line. I was like, what the fuck did they do with this? Like, I like that it was like different forms of the suits or whatever and stuff like that, but it went ridiculous. It went child's play, that's why. they really took that shit towards like kids or whatever. They were really marketing that shit to kids or whatever.
Yeah.
But that's what made it bother for me. Favorite Batman film? Under the Red Hood, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Book probably is Nightfall or The Dark Knight Returns. I'm gonna go with Dark Knight Returns just because I love some of the lines in it. I've told one to Z already. It was that one he told to Superman. I fucking love that line. Like when I hear that line, I was just like, I don't like Superman. I think he's a little bitch. it's like he has all this power and shit like that, but yet. He drags fights on, destroys cities and shit like that. I'm just like, dude, you could have ended that fight in like a second or whatever. Why did you drag this out to do this or whatever? And like, they even had a movie where he even said why he did it. He was just like, to teach you guys a lesson. I was like, what? You think Batman's a dick? Superman's a bigger dick, trust me.
Okay.
I gotta show you this animated film. It's on Netflix. It's Superman versus the Elite. He fights these guys that are like that pretty much kicks his ass, whatever. And he comes back and like, everybody's like, oh, we thought he killed him. He's like, no, I just wanted you people to believe they killed me because I wanted to show you what they could do or whatever. And I was like, so you let a whole city to get destroyed and people almost killed just so you could prove a point?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's like, actually, I'm looking at it right now, Superman vs. Elite. They got Superman, Batman, Apocalypse.
Yeah, Superman, Batman, Apocalypse is a badass. Batman trying to take on Apocalypse. It was a pretty badass scene.
Ultimate Avengers, All-Star Superman.
Mm-hmm. All-Star Superman is gay.
Superman, Shazam.
Pretty gay.
That's gay?
Yeah.
Ultimate Avengers, Ultimate Avengers 2. So, yeah, there's plenty of choices for me to watch on this.
I'm going to go with Dark Knight Returns, my favorite book. Dark Knight Returns, favorite book. Batman film, Under the Red Hood, and costume design. Might be Under the Red Hood. I like the suit in here.
I really didn't pay attention to the hood that much.
I or the suit. I was paying attention to the color and design and the boots and all that, and designs and all that, or whatever. I know he's my favorite. That's what my favorite voice for Batman, too.
Okay. Yeah, Bruce Grimm's got that nice, he's got that awesome voice for cartoons.
Yeah, when he was yelling at Alfred, that shit had me kind of going, I'm not going to lie. I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's mixing your voice, too, boy.
Batman Year One's on there, too.
Yeah, Batman Year's One on there. Year One isn't too much about Batman. It's more about Commissioner Gordon.
Okay.
But it treats Commissioner Gordon like a badass, though.
Oh, cool.
So yeah.
I got plenty of stuff to see on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of time.
Yeah, it's a lot of time. But luckily, they're only an hour. Most of them are an hour and 15 minutes, hour and 20 minutes, whatever. But that is this week's show. About 15 minutes longer. Not bad for two movies. You know.
No, should we? Since we already said our movies, should we say it? Since it's gonna be.
Yeah. So the next film choice for the next Throwback Tuesday episodes will be my choice. Will be. I Saw the Devil, speaking of Korean films.
We are going outside the box big time on this.
It's the third week we didn't done this now.
We are going crazy on this shit.
Yeah, man, because I'm trying to get you to see movies you've never seen before.
And I've heard great things, not just from you for about I Saw the Devil, but a lot of great reviews for it, too. So I'm exactly. Really excited to see it.
We talked about that non-happy ending, whatever. I don't. This movie definitely doesn't have a happy ending. But that was like what Korean film does, whatever. Because this ending was fucked up to me, whatever. If this wins, I can't wait to hear your reaction on it.
And well, my choice was Battle Royale. It's pretty much the Korean version of Hunger Games.
Japanese version.
Japanese, sorry. This was back in 2001, I think.
Yeah, it was around that time. So this.
And this movie is. This movie was banned. Cause
yeah, it got banned.
It got banned. It took, what it take, a petition, courts, saying to release this movie. I mean, this is a graphic movie for that subject matter.
You made a sequel, too.
A horrible sequel, I got. I heard it was horrible.
Yeah, I heard it was horrible, too, so I never watched it. I might just
I don't want to watch it, because I did not want to tarnish it. I don't want to tarnish it.
If I watch the first one again or whatever, I might watch the second just to see the I judge it for myself, I guess.
Okay, but I love Battle Royale. It's a really good movie. I really can't wait to see.
Ah, don't spoil it. Don't spoil it. You never know.
No, I'm just saying it's a really good movie, and I said I can't wait to watch. I'm going to watch I Saw the Devil anyway.
It's like, hey, since we're always telling people, if either one wins, you should just watch either one or whatever. If you have not seen the movie, because both films are fucking phenomenal, and I Saw the Devil is my favorite movie of all time.
Whoa, what?
Yeah.
Of all time.
Yeah, probably so. Yeah.
Holy shit.
I know I get this question asked a lot, and I never really give an answer because there's so many fucking movies, but I could literally say right now, without a doubt, that this is in my top three, and it might be the number one if I can go in my memory banks real quick. But I'm saying this right now, as far as being a film, it is one of my favorite films because it was not afraid to take that chance of going to the extreme and far. So.
And when was that released?
2000, it was released in festivals around 2011, 2012 it came out in theaters as far as overseas.
Yeah, I kind of looked up who was in it, and the only name I know is Storm Shadow from G.I. Joe.
Yeah, and he was also in Red 2 recently, where they fucked his couch.
Yeah, and so he's the only one I know, and he's, in Battle Royale, you'll know the teacher, he was in Johnny Mnemonic. And I think
one of the. Don't forget the villain in I Saw the Devil, too. He's in, he's almost in all these Korean films. He was in Old Boy and, damn, I forgot the other one. The Good, the Bad, and, something, I forgot the name of that shit now.
No.
He's in all that shit, though. Like, he's a Korean legend.
A Korean legend. Well, in Battle Royale, the, is it Go-Go from Kill Bill? She's in that. She's in Battle Royale.
Okay, we talked too much about these films already.
I know. I'm excited because this we're seeing foreign movies that are not English. That's like gonna be. It's gonna be awesome to review.
Yeah, exactly. I've never. Actually, I have reviewed I Saw the Devil before, but yeah.
Okay, so you.
But it was quick because it was like on a best of list. So.
But it's gonna be an exciting show next week. So get those votes out. Let's see if we can top what we did this week.
If we can top that, then I'll be shocked. But
trust me, if we get over 1,000, we're not gonna do both. We're not gonna do both. This was just a special occasion.
Yeah, because one was short, so you know, I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, we actually, that time frame went out pretty good, whatever. Plus, we went through Dark Knight pretty quick, because that was long, whatever. But this is Throwback Tuesday, episode 12. Phenomenal one of BoogieSportsPodcast.com right here, baby. I'm putting the fucking picks, like always.
This is Z from TheFanCritic.com, and the best director and best screenwriter for Eye-Open Pictures for Unnoticed. Unnoticed.
Sell that shit, man.
Hey. Unnoticed should be coming on DVD soon, and then New Blood Rising will come out later this year.
Better sell that shit every episode.
Well, I guess it's got to be finished. It's not finished editing yet, but
okay.
Unnoticed.
You need to put in every time you do yourself best director, best screenwriter.
I am now. I can call myself award-winning director.
Yeah, exactly, and I can keep saying he's the future.
I'm the future.
Yeah, exactly. The future, Lord, have Jesus on. Jesus said the future was coming.
Before we go, I gotta give TPO props for going to the Disney Expo after our Mulan review. The mouse right. Could have been stalking him. He was a very brave man.
I was wondering why that rat kept looking at me with that Goofy. Goofy just kept laughing as he walked by. He kept hitting Goofy upside the head and shit like that. And I was just wandering around. Mickey did catch my ass at one point, whatever, but. I got him confused when I put that Thor helmet on or whatever and started walking around within that food court area. He's like, he's blending in with all the other niggers. Jesus Christ. All these niggers do is eat.
But I do give you props for going to in Disney Expo, and it sounded really cool from everything I read, so.
I only did the Marvel stuff. Oh, actually, I went to some of the animation panels, how they did some of the stuff there. It was pretty cool. I like seeing how that was done.
Yeah, I definitely would like to check that out sometime. So
they spare no learner graduate coming there. They spare no expense from that shit.
I believe it. But
yeah, so
we have to get going. We've been on so long.
Yeah,
we're almost 2:15 right now.
Oh Jesus Christ! Well then, later everyone.
Later.
Who's got a camera? Ooh, get one of me and the kid first. Then you and me. Then the three of us. And then one with the crowbar.
Night after night. I watch over this city, but now someone stands in the shadows who knows my every move before I make it. Stalking me. It ends tonight.